listening to Nowhere Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Drugs?
Thank you, no, I'm straight.
I meant, are you in here for drugs?
Why are you here?
Drugs.
I don't know why I'm here.
Why don't you go home?
Why don't you put your thumb up your butt?
You wear too much eye makeup. My sister wears too much. People think she's a whore. You don't want to talk about your problem?
With you, are you serious?
I'm serious.
Blow yourself. All right. You want to know what's wrong?
I know what's wrong. Just want to hear you say it.
In a nutshell, I hate my brother. How's that?
That's cool. Did you blow him away or something?
No, not yet. See, I went home to confirm that the shithead was ditching school, and when I was there, a guy broke into the house. I called the cops, and they picked me up for making a phony phone call.
What do you care if your brother ditches school?
Why should he get to ditch when everybody else has to go?
You could ditch.
Yeah, I'd get caught.
So you're pissed off because he ditches and doesn't get caught, is that it?
Basically.
And your problem is you.
Excuse me?
Excuse you. You ought to spend a little more time dealing with yourself, a little less time worrying about what your brother does. That's just an opinion.
Mm. What, are you a psychiatrist?
No.
Why don't you keep your opinions to yourself?
Somebody you should talk to.
If you say Ferris Bueller, you lose a testicle.
Well, you know him.
Austin, that's you in a nutshell.
No, this is me in a nutshell. Help! I'm in a nutshell. How did I get into this nutshell? Look at the size of this bloody great big nutshell. What sort of shell has a nut like this? I mean, this is crazy.
How do you feel, Mr. Cunningham?
I feel extreme relaxation.
Oh, how dare you break wind before me?
I'm sorry, baby, I didn't know it was your turn.
I don't trust this kid any further than I can throw him.
Well, with your bad knee, Ed, you shouldn't throw anybody. It's true.
What is so dangerous about a character like Ferris Bueller is he gives good kids bad ideas.
Uh-huh.
Last thing I need at this point in my career is 1,500 Ferris Bueller disciples running around these halls. He jeopardizes my ability to effectively govern this student body.
Well, makes you look like an ass is what he does, Ed.
Thank you, Grace. I think you're wrong.
Oh, well, he's very popular, Ed. The sportos, the motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
I don't know why you had to tag along. This is my thing. You're not the only one who can be a model, you know. Ooh. Those are pretty pictures. What have you modeled for?
Guess.
Are you a Breck girl?
No, Guess jeans.
Okay, Levi's, Wrangler, Oshkosh Bagosh.
Brady girl.
That's us.
It's on Skyhawk, it's been a long, long time. sheep.
How about some more beans, Mr. Taggart?
I'd say you've had enough.
Oh, sure have. Woo-hoo! Hey, everybody. Hello. Hey, everyone. It's time for Nora Mulberry. Welcome to the show. Hey, it's Friday. I'm the J Strom. Welcome to the show. Film, television, pop culture. Steven the Pop Culture. Hey, Steven, how's it going?
I'm good. I'm here. I'm ready.
We also have here Laura, the Nym Fitness Guru. Hey, Laura.
What's up, Jason?
What up? We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
Hey,
everybody. Welcome to the show. Good time.
Hey. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to be talking about stuff. Yes. We've got a lot to talk about, Bill. Do we not? Lots of shows. Tonight,
rhetorical.
Tonight is the finale of Spartacus, Gods of the Arena. It came and went too fast. So next time we do a show, we'll be talking about that episode, the final one. But you know, we're talking about the fifth episode tonight. But still, I'm very sad at its passing. Yeah, stuff like that. And Bill, the Oscars are this weekend, I believe, aren't they? Are you excited at all?
No.
Yeah, I'm not really either.
I mean, I think I've seen all of the films. I just don't really care this year.
I've seen True Grit and Exit Through the Gift Shop. But yeah, whatever. But what is exciting, Bill, is you just played Bulletstorm. Huh?
I did play Bulletstorm.
Now, that's on Xbox and PlayStation, or just Xbox?
No, it's platform-wide. Yeah, it's PS3 and Xbox.
Nice. How did they swing that? Because, you know, Gears of War, that's like only one
Yeah, that's
platform.
Microsoft property. But I think that, you know, they can operate outside of that on new properties.
Yeah, you showed me some videos of it. It's a first-person shooter, but it's got some cool elements in it, like that weird lash thing that's on your wrist or something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's a first-person shooter set in the 26th century.
So oh,
it's,
yeah,
you know,
then.
There's a lot of really cool space, like...
It's one century later than Buck Rogers, isn't it?
Exactly.
He's in the 25th century.
And you're part of this group called Dead Echo, and they're like an elite squadron that goes around taking out enemies of the state or whatever. And you find out that the guy that's controlling your group is actually sending you on these missions to kill innocents. And you get pissed off and start to fight back and become a space pirate with your group of ragtag mercenaries.
Nice, I like space
and,
pirates.
Yeah, and then you go on a basically a suicide mission to take out the guy that had you killing all the people that were innocent.
Now, you know, like Halo has Master Chief. Gears of War, it has Marcus Fenix, right? What's the name of your character in this game?
The guy in this is Grayson Hunt.
Grayson
Hunt. And he's
kind
of a massive F-up.
Massive F-up. Like he's like a badass but a screw-up kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. He's much more confident than he should be.
Cross Rambo with Bill Murray in Stripes.
Exactly.
He's a righteous dude.
Awesome.
Yeah, he is a righteous dude.
He's kind of a drunken idiot. And he's not apologetic for it at all. But it's a really fantastically fun game. Like you said, early on in the game, you get this thing called a leash off of this dead elite soldier. And it enables you to throw out the leash and grab an enemy, pull them towards you in like a bullet time kind of way, and then execute a kill on them or kick them into something. Or the leash also later on, you can upgrade it to do this thing called the thumper, where you send it out and then you grab the person or thing that you want, and then it flings it up in the air and then down, and then every enemy around it gets shot up into the air, and you can do these skill shots. And I mean, it's a really innovative, fun game. It's like a summer blockbuster in game form. I finished it last night around 2 or 3 a.m., and I was pumped. I didn't end up going to bed until like 8 a.m. because I was full of adrenaline from it.
I was sold the moment I saw the bullet time sniper shot where you can control the bullet as it's moving and steer it towards the guy's head for a headshot.
Yeah, that's what's great. You bring up the sniper like, scope, awesome. And all you have to do is get a confirmation of an enemy. It turns the reticle red. You fire the shot, and then once the shot gets within range of that enemy that was targeted, it slows down and you steer so you can hit him wherever you want. Head, butt.
You can shoot him in the butt?
Crotch. Yeah, you get that's the great thing about this game is
ass bonus.
You get an ass bonus.
Oh, sweet.
The game, some games have like experience points, and as you level up, you can use those experience points to unlock new weapons or upgrades on weapons. In this game, you have skill shots, and you earn these skill points, and then you use those skill points to upgrade your weapons.
So you can just upgrade them however you want at what time.
Exactly. As you unlock them, you can upgrade whatever you want, and there's all kinds of crazy weapons with what they call charges on them, where you can do like a super shot. Like the main gun you have, whenever you upgrade it to a charge, it unloads a bullet that's like 100 bullets. And whenever you fire it, if you can get a bunch of guys in a row, like lined up, the bullet will go through all of them and it disintegrates them. You get an X-ray. Skill shot bonus.
So is there some kind of – I'm sorry to interrupt you, Bill. Was there some kind of controversy over the game at all towards violence or anything? Or is that
controversy because of violence and that it celebrates violence in a way that, you know, you can kill people in different ways. Like let's say you grab somebody with the leash, you pull them towards you, and let's say there's like exposed scaffolding above you. If you kick them into that scaffolding, you'll get – the voodoo doll points. Okay. Or if you kick them into a large cactus, you get it. You know, or you get one called spiked. Or if you shoot them in the ass, you get blowout. You know, there's like all kinds of different skill shots. And it celebrates that. And it's very vulgar and ridiculous.
Is it kind of like... Okay, like the sense of humor that's in Army of Two? Or not that bad? Or...
You know what? The sense of humor in Army of Two was so homoerotic and just awful.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas this one, it's I hate to call it frat-like because so many reviewers have been doing that. There's this snobbery in every review that I've read or I've seen where it's like, oh, this is so ridiculous and it's so over the top and this is like super egregious vocabulary. You don't need to swear this much. But that's what makes it fun. These are despicable characters that you're cheering for.
Right.
Yeah, you're playing through. It's just fun. It's mindless, ridiculous, violent.
People love to do that when a game comes out. It's like, you know, it doesn't influence me, but I'm really worried about all these other people who it'll influence.
Yeah, they try to take the high road. Like, they're so much better than anyone else.
The sportos, the motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads.
Yeah, those people.
I kind of wish it had co-op, but I understand why they
Wait, it doesn't have co-op?
No, it had co-op, but they removed it from the game because it sort of broke it. It's kind of a one-person mission kind of game, you know, because you're doing all these skill shots.
Can it, like, after you finish the game in single player, maybe they could unlock it or something?
I don't know. Maybe, but, you know, just the way it works is if you're doing these skill shots and trying to set up all these different things and some other friend,
like shooting the same guy.
In there, yeah, they can like they'll screw something up or you know just kind of steal skill points and all that. That's why they have a mode in it that's like a kind of like a horde mode where it's like 4-on-4, and you can team up with a friend and do that.
Or they could do like in Gears of War where they separate you. Remember that? That would drove us nuts, though. Like, I'll take this path. And we'd be like, what's the point of playing together if you're separated the whole time?
Well, and then you would have to, like, I remember in one part, you would have to stay behind, like, this rock worm and then I would have to shoot down these things to get the rock worm to keep moving. It was just a pain in the ass.
You don't want
to
get those rock worms, by the way. Painful.
Oh, and we would always die. Like, couldn't help one another when we were separated.
It'd be like, we would get held up on some, finally, I got past this guy. And then you would die, and we'd start over, and it'd be vice versa back and forth. And we'd be like, really, you'd have to take a break.
When we tried to complete the game on, well, when we did complete the game on the hardest difficulty, that was a regularity. It was like, we would have to take a break and go, we'll come back to it tomorrow.
Okay. Now, Bill, we have a lot of voicemail. What do you say we get to some of that? And I'll definitely play Bulletstorm. I really want to.
But yeah, it is insanely fun.
Remember, a couple of weeks ago, Sam sent us his first voicemail. He sent us another one.
All right.
Hey, Sam. Welcome to the club. let's see what you have to say.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen of Mulberry. It's Sam again, calling from Rhode Island. Just wanted to say you guys had a really great show last week, The Uncanny Valley. I meant to call again last week, but, you know, downloaded the show late, didn't get a chance to listen to it, got sick, but I'm sorry. Here I am, saying you guys had a great time. Sorry, you had a great show. Oh, boy, messing this one up. Something really funny about last show was you're talking about Face-Off, and the guy has, one of the contestants has an idea for a lighthouse attendant who's burned in a fire, and it's like a half waterlogged corpse, and you're saying how that doesn't make any sense. And then Steven, he comes up with his own version of the story, but he kind of describes it a little bit like Buddy. Like, hey, you got a guy up in the lighthouse, some kids, they tie him on fire, boom, you got a story. And I just thought that was hysterical. That's got to be Steven's new catchphrase. Boom, you got a story. Right? Well, I don't want to take too much of your time. Just wanted to say, have a great show. Talk to you soon. Bye bye.
Well, thank you, Sam. Thank you for the voicemail.
That's how I pitch movies. Boom! You got a story.
There you go. Now, hey, Bill. You know, Stephen Frayd Knott.
Yes.
Anderson. He.
Mr. Anderson.
Yes. He did a clip show for us not too long ago. Or actually, it was a long time ago, but it was awesome, the one he did. And he sent in a voicemail. And let's check it out.
Hey, everyone. It's Steve, or Afraid Not, with another very infrequent call-in. Good show last week. Great stuff. You did something I always love, which is the Nim movie brainstorming, basically. Pretty hilarious when you guys were giving those notes on the Face-Off terrible, terrible movie treatments. And speaking of terrible movies, I don't know if you guys knew that they apparently made a sequel to War Games? War Games 2, The Dead Code?
Yeah.
It was on TV the other week. And yeah, it exists. and I am totally endorsing not watching it ever because it's terrible. It was made in like 2002 or something.
And probably in Canada.
It was made in Canada.
Oh, there you go. You're good.
With like D-list Canadian actors. So yeah, real exciting stuff. Of course it's terrorists instead of, Cold War, because Cold War is not around anymore, and even though it's in Canada, of course, the omnipotent American supercomputer named Ripley, which that is an acronym, but they never explain what it stands for, can totally hunt down, with the help of the FBI and the CIA, can totally hunt down Americans from, I think it was Pittsburgh, who
Pittsburgh
are going to Montreal for a chess tournament because they played an online
sounds
game
like an awesome movie.
Yeah. By a terrorist, and if you
sounds
do well
really
enough at it, you therefore must be a terrorist, and the American government will hunt you down, enemy of the state style.
You can't just
he
be a kid on his computer
some
again.
Weird scenes where characters were playing some online Stargate video game, which I looked up and turned out it never even, like, it never came out. So, yeah, it's incredibly bad.
Shocker.
And The ending apes the ending from War Games 1 pretty badly. So, oh, did I just give a spoiler? Well, oh well. You should be watching it anyway, other than morbid curiosity.
Did us a favor.
So, yeah. Oh, and also, back a few episodes before 200, I think, the question was asked, was there ever any repeats in the openers that Jason put together?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
I was asking that.
I can say with confidence that there was never any total repeats, but like you said, there were, you know, occasional partial repeats. Like, the biggest was from a movie that I haven't seen. Yeah, I know. I don't see a lot of movies. That
I saw War Games too.
There's a kid brother, and he's worried his older brother is a vampire. And, you know, does he only come out at night? Yeah, he sleeps a lot. Does he have fangs and claws?
Lost Boys.
Oh, yeah, his nails are
a little
longer.
Lost Boys?
Will he get a
wow, that's sad.
T-shirt,
he hasn't
buddy.
Seen Lost Boys, but
anyway,
he's seen War Games,
that,
too.
I remember that the one was code. In two different openers.
I know
it was
exactly what
partially
you're talking
repeated,
about, Steve.
So I still think it's all good and amazing that you can keep putting together those great openers. So anyway,
that's
give
awesome.
Up the good work, guys. Talk to you later.
Bye. As long as somebody appreciates them, you know.
Now, but, in War Games 2, they do bring back Whopper.
Oh, sweet.
Have you seen it?
How do
yes.
you know that?
I've seen it.
Sweet. But I was going to tell Stephen Frey not here that, you know what he was talking about Lost Boys recently, you know, doing the clip show. I was listening to a bunch of different old shows, and I discovered exactly what he's talking about, that I had the same similar Lost Boys clips on two different intros, but they come in and leave and at different times. So it's like almost like where one clip ends, the scene continues in another show, like a year later or whatever. And I didn't do it on purpose. It was just on accident. So pretty crazy. But this guy, he's like speaking of a supercomputer like Ripley or Whopper. When I'm almost done with the clip show, I swear to God, it's just like one thing I got to do to it. But, I asked him for help because he did the clip show before, and he goes, well, I was planning on doing one, but I never got around to it. But here's my list of things that I was going to include. And he sent me descriptions of what episode, what happens, and the timestamp.
Wow.
I was like, holy shit. So I started listening to him, and I was like, thank God this guy did this. Because I'm still working on it, but it would be another year before it was done. He really helped me a lot, and I want to thank you
for
that.
So he's the show expert, and his brother Mark is the game expert.
Exactly. Yeah, he's a mad genius.
Then they'll die.
All right, guys, we got another voicemail. This one from Sean. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Mulberry guys and gal. It's Sean here in Los Angeles. As always, last episode was filled with laughs and awesome times. And I think I agree with Adam. He posted this, I think, on his Facebook, or I forget where I read it, but Adam put it somewhere that your podcast is like the thing he looks forward to the most of like any media type thing, whether it's like a TV show, a weekly TV show or anything like that. Nowhere Mulberry is what he looks forward to the most. And I think I have to agree.
I think it's Ross.
You know, you guys have something really awesome going on. I know I say it over and over, but it's true. And quality hasn't dipped or anything. It's just always awesome. So don't ever stop. Right, guys? Keep going forever.
And keep kissing our ass.
Yes.
And boom, we got a show.
Tuck her up, Buttercup.
Oh, also Adam, he was lobbying me to join the MIM forum, which I have to admit I haven't done yet, and I feel really bad about it. It's kind of like a type of thing that I don't even want to acknowledge because I feel bad.
Hundreds of Russian spam bots have joined it. You haven't.
I always forget to, but I'm gonna try not to. I'm driving now, but when I get home, I'm gonna try and remember to get to my computer and join up.
Do it.
Join in on the fun there. And just a little rant. I kind of mentioned this on Twitter, and Bill responded to this. But I'm getting really sick of the internet and like people's opinions, and not even yeah. opinions, but what people have to say on the internet. Because I was on a Blu-ray.com forum because someone posted that Scott Pilgrim versus the World was on sale. A Blu-ray was on sale for $13.99 on Amazon, and I hadn't gotten it yet. But I was like, sweet, cheap movie. I mean, cheap, awesome movie. And I just, you know, had to read some of the comments, and a bunch of people were saying, oh, $13.99 better come with a slipcover. And then people were doing all kinds of investigative things, like going to Best Buy and saying, well, half the copies at Best Buy had a slipcover, the other half didn't. And then so people on the forum messaged back saying, oh, well, that means some of them may not have slipcover, so I definitely am not going to order from Amazon just in case they don't send me a slipcover. I'm going to go to Best Buy and make sure I get one with a slipcover. And I was so confused, and it's like, it's a freaking slipcover. It's a piece of cardboard with the same image as the box art. I don't understand the need for that. But, you know, I guess I shouldn't judge people on that, but it just really irritates me, and I'm sorry for taking up the pressure of their time about that. I feel really stupid.
People are stupid.
Have a good time. Have a good show tonight, folks. Hopefully this voicemail makes it, because I think you guys go on the air like 40
minutes.
You made
it, Sean, but, under the wire.
Yeah, take care. Love you. Bye.
Thank you, Sean, very much. And you know what? About joining the forum, you send a voicemail almost every week. So, I mean, you give your feedback and all that stuff. But, you know, this week, Adam and then Ross joined the forum, and it was pretty awesome, you know, getting people active on there. And, Sean, it could be a lot of fun with more people joining, you know.
I think so. I encourage people to join.
And participate more. I mean, mainly, like, if you see not a lot of participation now is because, you know, not a lot of people participate. You know?
Yeah, I mean, we only have...
The more the merrier.
We have 50 real people as members. People.
And that's great.
Yeah, well, I do the admin on it, and I was clearing out the fakes the other night, and there were tons of them. And there's a lot of people that join and then never post, one post.
Right. And like Adam and Ross are already being pretty active. Patrick on there, and you know we have Swiley and
they've got their little
Ken.
NIM trivia game going on right.
Yeah,
now.
That's pretty cool. I can't participate because it'd be too easy. Like, well, here's the answer. It's like that's not fair.
Yeah, so I was gonna do it, and I was like, no.
I wanted to answer some.
I get a kick out of seeing people entertained and just enthusiastic about the show and stuff. That's really cool. And another person we need to get there on the forum is Rick. We got a voicemail from Rick, guys. Rick. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. How's it going? It's Rick here. I'm back again. Voicemail time. I'm still going strong with this no drinking thing. Who would have figured? It's like almost 8 weeks down. And
wow.
I haven't touched a drop of alcohol in 8 weeks. Yeah, I'm pretty impressed with myself, I've got to say. But, I almost passed out the other day when I smelled this beer. Ooh, delicious.
Malt
and I've got to give you some... Well, I've got to let you know about your enhanced feet. That's bloody great, eh? I was just trying to find a part of last week's show, and I was just skimming through, looking at the pictures, going, man, this is the easiest way to find where you want to be. This podcast, you did a great job, and you should keep it up, because it's just friggin' great. Whenever you need to look back at a certain part of a certain episode, having those little pictures to show you where you're at, it's just perfect. So I'm just giving you a pat on the back, all of yous. Good job. It's me patting you.
Oh. It's delightful.
Enjoy the rest of the show, guys.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
There's somebody out there who listens and appreciates to what you guys do. So just remember that. I think it's worth it. You're doing this for a reason. It's worth it. Well, guys, this was Rick from Australia. Right? Yeah. I went back and did that old one.
Mm-hmm. I hope this is pod safe lounge music.
It's him playing the piano. And the drums.
Makes me think of that song, Making Whoopee. All right, thanks, Rick. That was awesome.
I guess that's his theme now.
Yeah, I love it. Every voicemail will end with that. No, you don't need to do that, Rick, on our account. But hey, guys, let's check out what's going on in entertainment and stuff. Woo!
Wow, that was really exciting.
What is going on in entertainment? You know, there is a movie that it has come out, And when I first saw the trailer for it online, I was like, you know what? It has crazy Nick Cage in it. I think I might want to see it. And it's called Drive Angry. I remember you and I talking about this a while back, Bill, because it just looks like just enough craziness where it looks like it'll be fun. Whereas yeah. Ghost Rider just looked freaking stupid.
No, you know? Ghost Rider was awful.
Right, but this looks like just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They got the fun quotient in
there.
They
got fun violence and hot chicks. And I kind of equate this to like Shoot 'Em Up.
Yeah, and it's 3D.
Filmed in 3D.
Ooh. Yeah, and it's actually filmed in 3D. Yeah.
That's sweet. Yeah, this is definitely for me. I have no idea what kind of reviews or anything like that. I'm just going by the trailer. It looks a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty of, oh, this is so base. So trite. I can't believe that such a film would be released. What a waste of time.
Let me sip on my Merlot.
Let me go watch my Jean-Pierre Merville film.
Now, another movie that came out, Hall Pass. That looks kind of funny stuff. Don't know anything about it. But, Bill,
I have a problem.
Uh-oh.
I have a huge problem with this film, and his name is Jason Sudeikis.
This guy
irritates the living F-word
with
out
the name
of me.
Like Jason, how bad could he be?
I just can't stand this guy. I couldn't stand him on Saturday Night Live. I can't stand him in anything. He just,
Well, I want to talk to you, Bill, about Paul, the new Simon Pegg, Nick Frost movie. When does that come out? Next week?
March 18th.
March 18th. Are you excited about that?
I am excited, but I'm trying to temper my excitement.
Right, he's letting the film come to him.
Have been pretty
yes.
mediocre.
You're letting letting the film come to you, Bill.
Yes. Yes, I am.
I mean, we love Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, so how could they go wrong? We'll just see what goes on with there. You know, I am taken aback a little bit by the Seth Rogen voice of the alien. I almost picture him kind of more nerdy voice or something like that. You know, I could have done the voice of the alien. It would have been a lot better, don't you think? I haven't even seen the movie, but I think my voice would kick some ass on that.
I don't know. I think maybe I like the idea of Seth Rogen doing it because there's a certain vibe to Seth Rogen, you know, the mm-hmm. stoner moron. Mm-hmm. But I trust him.
Dude. Yeah, I trust him. Yeah. All right. Well, guys, let's go ahead and get into what's on our TiVo. I mean, we could talk about Oscars and give our Oscar picks and all that, but does anyone care?
I just don't care.
I don't think we care.
Well, just tell me what the best picture is going to be.
What the best picture is going to be The King's Speech.
It's going to be The Social Network, and David Fincher is going to win an Oscar. That's what it's going to be. That's my prediction.
Really?
I don't think The King's Speech is going to win like best screenplay and get dissed the rest of the night.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, totally. I know these things. I have no clue.
Those old stupid Oscar voters love those period British dramas.
That's what
I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. This is the new generation, Facebook people. Guys, let's just move on because I'm just talking out of my ass. All right, guys, what's on our TiVos? I do think Natalie Portman will win the Oscar. Might as well, you know.
Might as well.
All right, guys. Let's talk about Charlie Sheen for a minute. Because...
is he on your TiVo?
Yes. Charlie Sheen is on my TiVo. I don't watch Two and a Half Men. You know, I did watch Two and a Half Men, like, the first and second season.
I refuse to watch it.
I watch it for a bit and stuff, and apparently it's a real cash cow. I never understand it because it says, like, it's like the number one rated sitcom, like, every season.
Really?
I don't get it. Yeah. I don't understand.
And I don't like sitcoms in general, but this show is horrid.
Yeah. I just lost interest in it or whatever. I'd watch it over at the in-law's house, and we'd watch it wherever. It's just a safe thing, and it has, you know, slightly naughty humor or whatever. Mm. It's got John Cryer in it. I mean, there's nothing that great about it, but apparently it's just enough where everyone loves it, I guess. But apparently Charlie Sheen, you know, everybody knows that he's into hookers and drugs and stuff like
hookers
that.
And blow.
Hookers and blow, yeah. He just wants to do what he does, and he doesn't think he has a problem, apparently, does he?
No.
Not really.
And I think, what addicts do?
I think what happened recently, you know, with all of his troubles is you know, I think that Two and a Half Men at CBS just put up with it because the show does so great. He gets something like $2 million an episode. You know, it's like, hey, if he shows up for work, it's no big deal. But he started kind of being embarrassing, I guess, for them. So they ordered, hey, you need to go to AA before you return or go to rehab. And that really pissed him off. He's like, I show up for work. I do my job. Don't you worry about that. So at first he said, okay, I'll go. And he's trying to be a nice guy and, you know, hey, I'll pay for the time that everyone misses work, you know, on the show.
Yeah, but then you find out he goes to rehab in his home.
Well, yeah, he quit rehab the first day, or he never even went. He decided he was going to do rehab at his house himself or whatever. And people are like, wait, that doesn't count. And his whole thing is he doesn't need Alcoholics Anonymous and all that because it's all BS. He can do it himself.
Yeah, he don't need that shit. He's got a strong mind.
Right.
Yeah, he's proven that.
And, I mean, I don't know. I've never been to Alcoholics Anonymous or the meeting or whatever, so I don't know. I know that some people don't think it works for them. It's all bullshit.
It would be anonymous for him.
Yeah, and he makes a lot of money and stuff. He doesn't want people telling him what to do. I can understand that, I guess. But he was on this show called The Alex Jones Show, Bill, and I have no idea what this is. It's some conspiracy guy, right?
Yes, he's a lunatic. He's a crackpot who believes everyone is out to get him, and everything's a conspiracy, and we're all going to die because the government wants us to die.
Well,
and they
I read Howard Stern tweet that he predicted Machete would cause a race war in L.A. or something.
What?
Yeah, the movie Machete by Robert Rodriguez, mm-hmm. It would incite riots. But
yeah, that's so typical of what that Alex Jones does, because he actually wants to create people to talk about him. Like, right. Oh, that's so ridiculous.
Yeah, he gets off on it by something ridiculous he said. Well, Charlie was on his show, and let's just hear Charlie kind of talk about...
And Charlie's one of those 9/11 truthers.
Right. He gets off on that kind of talk and stuff. So let's check this out.
Well, Charlie, I mean, I tell you, it is amazing. And I just appreciate you coming on today so folks can really hear the energized, unleashed Charlie Sheen. You wanted to talk about AA because, you know, when I was at your house, I said, man, great job being completely sober and, you know,
good job on soberness.
But I can't use the word sober because that's a term from those people. And I have cleansed myself. I closed my eyes, and in a nanosecond, I cured myself from this ridiculous model of disease and addiction and obsession. It's just the work of sissies. The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning. You know, this bootleg cult. You know, arrogantly referred to as Alcoholics Anonymous, Alex supports a 5% success rate. My success rate is 100%. Do the math. Take, for instance, its founder, a desperate and, I don't know, broken-down plagiarist, stayed high on acid until the day he died. I can't seem to find that chapter in his silly book of lies. And then, Alex, try to get your mind around this as a fellow warrior deep in the trenches. Their entire manifesto is built upon a complete and total surrender, or the concept of complete and total surrender. They urge you to put down your sword and come join the winners. In 22 years, the only winners I could locate in their toothless warren were either driving a convertible van or living like trolls under some abandoned bridge. Another one of their stupid mottos, Alex, is don't be special, be one of us. Newsflash, I am special, and I will never be one of you.
Wrap your mind around this. You sound like Thomas Jefferson.
Well, I'm not Thomas Jefferson. He was a pussy. No, but I dare anyone to debate me on things. Debate me on AA right now. I have a disease? Bullshit. I cured it with my brain, with my mind. I'm cured. I'm done. Well, awesome. We all have to sit in here and touch ourselves and frown. Well, you know, you don't look like you're having a lot of fun. I'm going to hang out with these two smoking hotties and fly privately around the world. You know, it might be lonely up here, but I sure like the view.
I don't know. He's crazy.
Well, it happens when you become the top of your game. You know, it's a double meaning. It is lonely at the top, and then a lot of people do hate you, come after you, attack you. And I know for years you've just put up with it, but it sounds like you're done.
I'm done. It's on. Bring it, as I say. I ain't hiding. You know? And if you're a part of my family, I will love you violently. If you infiltrate and try to hurt my family, I will murder you violently.
In the InfoWar.
In the InfoWar.
Absolutely.
Huh? Okay.
Yeah, that's that Alex Jones thing, InfoWar. He's in an information war against everyone
the real
trying
media.
To spread disinformation.
So it's kind of like They Live to him?
Yeah, exactly.
Stay asleep and all that? Ah.
Put the sunglasses on and see what's really going on.
Basically, what I'm trying to kind of comprehend what Charlie Sheen is saying is that Alcoholics Anonymous is for losers, and it's all a big bummer when you're there, all feeling sorry for ourselves. He'd rather stay at home with his smoking hotties and have a good time, right? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Smoking hotties.
His way of dealing with addiction is flying to the Bahamas on a private jet with two porn stars and just hanging out.
Smoking hotties.
I like the way he says it. Smoking. And apparently he said a bunch of stuff about the producer of Two and a Half Men, but I couldn't find it anywhere.
He called the guy by his Hebrew name, which everybody is interpreting as an anti-Semitic slam.
Right.
And then he said that he wanted to meet him in the octagon.
Yeah, I read that.
And throw down with his flaming fists of fury or something.
He said something also about some kind of mystic, what was it, warrior, what was it? I couldn't find the audio clip, though, and it was pissing
me off.
He
is so out of his freaking mind, it's ridiculous, and I love it.
He was a pussy.
I know, it's great. It's very entertaining.
I mean, how can we not love
this? Mel Gibson kind
of. He is turning into Mel Gibson.
I've seen different tweets from different people, and one person's like, so Charlie Sheen insults the creator of Two and a Half Men? Hell, I think I'm on his side.
You know, Charlie Sheen has always been crazy. It's just the craziness has been behind his, you know,
behind
own
closed doors.
Private walls.
It's like his friends are like, have you heard Charlie talk sometimes? He's kind of nuts. But hey, yeah. We're having a great time. So,
yeah. Oh, he called it
him
his
and Randy
private
Quaid
fire
along
breathing
well.
Fists.
Yeah, I love that.
Do the math.
Do the math. He's nuts. That's awesome. So we'll find out what happens more on that.
Oh, and he said, I violently hate Haim Levine, which is Chuck Lorre's Hebrew name.
Right.
He's a stupid, stupid little man and a pussy punk that I'd never want to be like, and that's me being polite.
And see, Chuck Lorre, he's the guy who at the end of his shows has that quick flash of all these words. I don't know if you've ever seen that, like the producing card and the company, and you can freeze frame it and read his thoughts or whatever. And he had all sorts of stuff to say about all the stuff he does to be healthy, and he'll be very angry if Charlie Sheen outlives him and stuff. So kind of calling him out there. It's all pretty silly.
Okay, now look at Keith Richards of the Stones, okay? As many drugs as he's done and how old this cat is, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I'm cured. I'm done.
It's got nothing to do with what you're doing. You know, there's been healthy people who've dropped dead.
I mean, it's Charlie. I mean, basically,
listen to Charlie Sheen talk. Listen to the conviction in his voice. Mm-hmm. I believe the guy. He is absolutely freaking crazy. But if he wants to do drugs and it doesn't bother him, apparently.
Right. He's in control. And from the way he sounds, it doesn't sound like anybody can talk any sense.
He's a functioning addict.
Yeah.
He can do his
Nobody can tell this guy what to do at all. So
he can do his job. And
I think that's where he went a little nuts is when they said, hey, you go to rehab, then you come back to work. The switch went off of him. It was like, what? No. You don't tell me what to do. I can shut this whole thing down if I want to.
Well, and it's true. I mean, he is the star of that show. It's not—it's certainly not John Cryer.
Aw, Ducky.
People don't tune in for John Cryer.
I tune in for Ducky. Come on, you guys. I was saying they should just recast his part and see what happens. But maybe because of contracts and stuff, they couldn't do that outright. You know, just
I don't know how that's going to work. Maybe
get John Lovitz.
Maybe John Cryer.
John Lovitz.
Hiding out for TV or something.
I hey, Hiding Out, that's a good movie, Bill. We watch it like every time it comes on Showtime. It's like, hey, Hiding Out's on again. Let's check it out.
One of the best hairdos ever. I know,
he's got
the big beard.
And he shaves it. He starts out with a beard because he's supposed to be older, and then he shaves it. Now he can go into high school. He looks so much younger now.
And he bleaches the sides of his hair. Yeah,
that's a fun movie. That's one of those Keith 80s Coogan. Movies I love. Yeah. All right, guys.
Isn't the ending in, like, the gym and there's an assassin? Oh, yeah.
It's some dramatic stuff, Bill. Good stuff.
Oh.
All right, guys. Cake Boss, huh? Cake Boss had nothing this week. This week, I think it was a big promo for Carlos Bakery's new online ordering because they keep mentioning – Buddy keeps mentioning how his sisters are handling the online orders. And he reminds us throughout the entire show, and there's really not much else going on except for his Columbus cake, Bill.
Oh.
Let's go ahead and check this out.
This week at Carlos, we're trying something completely new. Just for this week, I opened up our website to take online pie orders.
Carlos,
that
we're
shipping out all over the place.
I need 10 examples.
And the response was huge. I mean, normally we do 200 or 300 pies a day. This week, we're getting orders from close to 1,000.
Apple crumbs upstairs on the shelf. Go.
The reason why I'm trying to, like, update the pie order system,
computerize
it, is because when we open Lackawanna, we're going to have a factory.
Who?
We're going to be able to ship cakes all over the country. And I need to test the orders, see how it works, because now we're still pretty old school.
This is just a little test of how we can grow the business.
And how incompetent you all are.
So, I know we got a lot of pies. I know that it stinks. I know we have to put it together
a
little.
Stinky pies.
FS.
Cheese pies.
Truth be told, next year we'll be better.
Don't order those.
This is just a little test, okay? Let's go. Back to work.
They're a Remy specialty.
My sisters have always been in charge of the front sales, you know, the counter. So, with this new online thing, I'm going to give them a chance to help out.
Yeah, we know. You already told us.
That's it. We got a chocolate pecan.
You didn't say chocolate.
Kids are tuning in right now. Let me tell you again.
You're making a mistake already.
So I'm going to stay out of it, and I'm going to let them figure it out for themselves.
We got 30.
I know.
Wait,
see, you already told us this?
85 more to go.
Buddy has this bright idea that we're going to do all our orders through the internet.
Now she's telling
us. I know that that's going to make things easier, but getting there, that's the problem.
This is exactly why I'm staying out of the pie.
I wish they would talk without holding their nose.
I can't be stepping in to solve every little problem.
They're pretending to be on the telephone.
My sister's in charge of this. They need to figure it out.
I'm down there trying to put orders away with Mary, and all I hear is this. I need more pie. How long?
The reason they never answer them is because they have earplugs.
Come in there, look. There's pies there.
Yeah, there's pies here. I need
to shut your pie hole.
Wait, why are they?
I love her.
I'm gonna give you a fist pie.
The problem we're having with pie orders is she just can't let everybody do their own job.
It's a thankless job I have.
This week, my sisters are in charge of online pie orders.
Now, we know.
They need to work it out amongst themselves.
Why are they handling
this? Is this all loose?
I am down to my last
In case you were listening last time.
Large apple.
I have a short attention span. I can't remember.
Even I forgot what they're doing down there.
And I didn't tell you, my sisters are handling the online pie ordering.
And that's it?
It was kind of a test to see if they could work things out.
We know!
They did it. And the best part is that I stayed out of it, and I didn't get yelled at, I didn't get aggravated. We're going online and we're shipping
What's
all
with
over the,
world. Chillaxing
baby.
Dave Matthews Band music?
Because he's mellow, he didn't get stressed out.
I'm totally ordering a cake when it's like, God, stop telling us what you're doing. You told us already, buddy.
I'm going to order a cake and then poop on it and send it back.
FS.
Delicious.
Yeah, I guess they're just doing pies. So it's Cake Boss. Can't order a cake? I guess not.
It was just a test.
Oh, yeah. It's a test.
It's
know?
A pie test.
You know, they're not doing it now. It's just a test. Because, you know, when they go to Lakshmi Managi.
Lackawanna?
Lackawanna.
So you see what he's doing. He's going to just start like a big factory of Carlos Bakery. It's going to like I said before, Dolly Madison,
new,
right?
And then it's going to be completely automated, and he's going to have to fire his entire family.
He should do that. All right, guys, on Kitchen
Nightmares.
Oh, my God, she's annoying.
Those guys can't wait to go to that factory. Sorry, we won't be seeing you all the every day, honey. How are they together anymore?
I hate those people.
Now, Kitchen Nightmares. What? The name of this restaurant at Kitchen Nightmares was Grasshopper also? I know.
Yeah. What,
Grasshopper. What? What is that?
Apparently, there was already a Grasshopper.
Grasshopper also? What?
They wanted to avoid confusion.
So what? This had the unstable relationship of the dad, the father-in-law, who I guess put up the money for the restaurant, who's there every day, and they had this poor beaten-down guy who didn't know how to run the place and his wife, and it just seemed kind of like
I don't think
miserable.
He knew his ass from a hole in the ground.
He didn't. Let's go ahead and start this off. My favorite part when Gordon just shows up.
So the three of you are running the business together?
Yes.
Wow.
I should really stand between these two guys because that's usually the case.
Oh, really? Why do you say that?
We butt heads occasionally.
Occasionally.
Are you kidding? We almost kill each other.
Yeah, okay.
Wow. You're already refereeing these two.
And my father has to blame somebody, and he blames my husband.
Where does your allegiance lie?
With my husband, you know. I support him.
How much does it cost to build this?
$3 million to get it going.
That's crazy. What do you think is wrong with the business?
Mitch is one of the biggest problems.
Do you regret now, 16 years later, giving him part of the business?
Yes, I do.
Tell me the biggest issue inside Grasshopper.
My father-in-law blames me for everything.
But is he right or is he wrong?
Could be right. Could be wrong.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
And first name is
Ramsey. Annette.
Annette, nice to see you.
Very nice to meet you.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate the food?
You're 3. The cooks are winging it.
She rated it a 3. I wouldn't have even eaten it.
I don't think care goes into every dish that they're making.
Let's go for the French onion soup.
Okay.
Shepherd's pie. And I'll go for the fisherman's platter.
Fantastic. Hungry, hey?
Oh, yes. dying to get my head around. What's going on?
When he said shepherd's pie, I was like, oh,
sliced
no.
Sliced onions into boiling dishwater. Dreadful.
How's the French onion?
Yeah, off to a bad start, unfortunately. It's like someone's in my soup.
Well, that's not good. We'll take this away.
Someone shit a cicada in his soup.
That was dreadful.
Mitch should grab the bull by the horns and be in command.
All right, shepherd's pie.
Here I love the...
Thank you,
the
Gabriel.
Dad kind of reminded me of the guy from Lethal Weapon 2, the South African guy.
Diplomatic immunity.
Right on top of my...
Yes.
That is a shocker. Like someone's snot all over my mouth.
Oh,
delicious.
And that gravy is made from...
Beef.
Beef stock on a shepherd's pie. And shepherd's pie is made out of...
This one is actually beef.
So it's a cottage pie, not a shepherd's pie. Because shepherd stands for the...
Sheep. I'll be back to check on you.
Cold, congealed gravy. It's like glue.
So how are we doing?
Taste that. For me. Ouch. It's just gross.
It's not hot either.
That's partly the reason why they're not coming back. It's just watery. There's a lot of pain on Mitch's face.
Oh, he just walks by for a second. There's a lot of pain on his face.
He's constipated.
All right, chef, this is our broad fisherman's platter.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
That's gross.
No good, chef.
Soft, bland, rubbery. I didn't realize it could be this bad.
It's
thank
so
you.
Sad okay. When the wait staff or, you know, the wife or whatever, she goes, so how are you enjoying the meal, chef? And he's like, oh, it's horrible. It's like, don't even go over there and ask him because you know it's going to be all. I never understand on this
how
show.
How do you think I'm enjoying it?
I never understand on the show why they want help. Obviously, they call somebody, the show, to get Gordon Ramsay there to help. And then they get all pissed when their food sucks. They
like, just tell me how bad my food is. I understand
so
it's going to be bad.
Fix it, but it's like sometimes they're like, well, it should be better. You know, why are you sending him this crappy food?
Like, what are we doing
like,
wrong?
Okay, I'd be like, okay, something's wrong with our restaurant. Do everything as you usually do. Send him the food as you always do it. And then he says it sucks. We know it sucks. But it's funny how they take it personally.
Looks like they go and they always look at it. Well, it's frozen fish.
Mm-hmm.
You pay more for frozen fish than you do fresh fish.
Did it look like the whole chef staff was a team of Mexicans, right?
Well, yeah, they were.
And they're making the shepherd's pie with
Irish food.
Beef. And it's so
funny. Well, you know what's funny is in most restaurants now, the staff are like Central American.
Right.
You have to know Spanish in order to have a line cooks.
Did it seem like a lot of them didn't know what he was saying to them?
Yeah.
Absolutely. None of them spoke English.
This is my favorite part where he's talking to all of them back there and going through the food. And he's like, you know, how old is this? It's like 2 days old. And he goes, this is 2 days old. And he's like, what's wrong with this? That's the way it's supposed to. This is
two
how
days
it's supposed
old.
To. I love this. Let's check this out.
It. 2 days old.
The grossest part, he goes, why is there blood in this? And that started grossing
2 days
out.
Old.
Oh, and there's one part, he goes, what is this? And it was a bunch of like chicken wings. They were all stuck together. And
they were pre-fried and then put in the fridge. So all the grease and animal fat had rendered out into this gelatinous goo, and they were all stuck
like
together.
When you get model pieces, like a model car, and they're all stuck, you snap the plastic off the pieces. Let's check this out.
Chef Ramsay wants to meet the chefs responsible for this supposed authentic
Oh, so who's the chef?
Hello, Chef Ramsay.
What I had there today had nothing to do with Ireland. Shepherd's pie? Well, I mean, that wasn't shepherd's pie. If you went to Dublin and you served shepherd's pie like that, they would shoot you. The food
is
embarrassing. This would be Mexican.
Dreadfully. It has no flavour. Where's the pot of scallops? Where'd you keep those?
Right there.
Show it to me, please.
Is that what you use out of mine? That's what you cook my scallops from, yeah?
Are they frozen?
No, not frozen.
They were frozen, but they're not frozen now.
Yep.
You've got no chance of cooking them. Decent.
They're fresh frozen.
What's that in there? Maureen, come over. Mitch, come over, please. Oh, what is that?
Mozzarella sticks.
And can you see that there?
Mozzarella sticks, yeah.
Blood from where? From
the meat. I love Irish
blood from the meat.
Sticks.
On the mozzarella sticks. Come on, guys. Thank God I didn't
cicadas
have the mozzarella sticks.
Look
like
it's a blood
transfusion
cicada
going on down there.
Ew.
Mitch, when was the last time you went through the fridge?
I have not gone through this fridge.
Ever.
We have a lot of fridges.
Left it up to my staff.
I've not yet made it to this.
Come on, please. Don't do this to yourself, let alone the customers. Rule number one, when learning to cook, you cannot store raw meat and cooked meat on the same shelf in the same fridge. The whole thing has got a cross-contamination.
What's in there?
Tenders.
Chicken tenders. Why is it all bubbly and slimy?
There's a chicken comes like that.
The chicken comes like that.
Hey, that's what it should, man.
Look how slimy.
He's like squeezing them all in.
Look at that. It's my problem, Mr. Ramsay.
It comes
all
bubbly,
senor. My God,
that's
horrific. It's totally embarrassing.
What is this? How can you serve that?
It's like it's been left out for days and it's been attacked by cats.
My God.
This is where your money's going. You may be the chief, but I swear to God, there's one thing the grasshopper hasn't got is a leader.
You will be good with the chili peppers.
I love, you know, eventually he, Gordon Ramsay tried to fix everything and he hired that new chef. He's like, okay, I've got a guy. And he calls a guy and he comes there and everything's going to be great. Except that dude, Mitch or whatever, he still can't do the job.
No.
And the
he doesn't know how to expedite.
Gordon starts to side with the father-in-law. He's like, I think I see why he hates his son-in-law.
Because he's a retard.
So he eventually they say, you know, later on, months later, they got the chef to stay on board for a while and he trained everybody there, including the husband. So things are going better there, I guess. That is what
apparently, they really love the name Grasshopper in New Jersey because there's a Grasshopper 2, a Grasshopper off the green, a Grasshopper, and then there's Grasshopper also.
Wow.
So
wow.
I guess they're not real original in Jersey.
That's weird. Now, let's talk about Face Off, guys. And is everybody, what's wrong with everybody on this show where they all hate that girl, Megan? And they've come up with this conspiracy theory that that guy,
Connor. Or was it just like two of them?
They've got cicadas up their ass.
There's two of them that hate her, and then the rest of them are just kind of.
They're like, man, he was all zen when he got here, but now he just wants to get laid or whatever. And he seems to be doing okay in the contest, whatever you call it.
I think it's because Megan is like the cute young one that everyone wants to pick on because they don't think that she's served her time.
Right. An earlobe girl definitely can't stand
her. I literally want to drop kick her in her face. Like, I'm one
of them. Everything she comments on is about that girl, Megan, like when they did the hair thing where they have to do facial hair. And she was like, oh my God, like her hair is just falling out as he's coming in. You know, it's just like, I hate her so much. And it was I thought it was tacky when she was making faces and stuff when they were judging.
Absolutely.
Because basically what they do is they have a husband and wife or bride and groom. They're going to get married and they do a gender switch or whatever, gender swap. And she had a pretty tough looking guy to turn into a woman.
Mm-hmm. Very manly.
But made him look better than like Tyler Perry or something.
Well, made him look better than the earlobe girls. You know, she didn't do anything other than.
It was all gray and stuff. And I had a feeling the judges had had enough of their cattiness on this episode.
Yeah, it was obvious, especially when that V. Neal called her out.
Yeah, she's like, oh, this gray.
Do you have a problem?
Yeah. Let's go ahead and check this first part out.
Your spotlight challenge this week is to make up these real-life engaged couples for their wedding day. But there is a twist to this challenge.
They're all cyborgs.
You're gonna need to turn the bride into the groom and the groom into the bride. This is a gender swap challenge.
I knew immediately that if anyone was going to pull this off, it was Megan. I know that she's skilled as a beauty makeup artist.
Megan's cleaning a lot. She's Connor's little maid, to say the least. Connor molded everything. He sculpted everything.
It'll help her in this challenge, and she'll probably stay one more week, and I'm probably just going to be that
much more. I was waiting for her laugh, but it didn't happen.
Now let's talk to Connor and Megan.
First question I want to ask you about these makeups. Who did what? Precisely. With detail, please.
Together, we took snaps from the vacuforms of the life cast, and we molded it all together, cast them in gelatin.
Connor's giving Megan credit that I know she doesn't deserve. There are things that he's saying she did that she didn't do.
Once the appliances were
warm,
you handled all of the makeup for
her. It was a team effort.
Yes, I did. I also tinted the nose and chin for her.
Excellent job. I'm really happy with both these makeups. Really well done. Coloring is solid. They're
Joe,
clean.
Do you have something to say over there? You're acting a little bit disgusted.
Oh, not disgusted. It's just that when it came to duties, it did seem like Connor was taking over majority of what was going on.
So, Megan, what exactly did you do on these makeups?
On the bride,
I did the beauty makeup.
You didn't do any of the sculpting of the prosthetics?
I did. I did the chin.
You sculpted the chin on the bride. Okay. Nice job. Very well done.
Thank you.
I love the bride. I think she's gorgeous.
Can I just say that Megan was, I chose her as a partner because of her skills as a beauty makeup artist. She helped me every step of the way.
Connor,
and
out of curiosity, why did you feel the need to defend Megan's position?
Because I really don't like some of the backbiting that's been going on in this competition, and I don't understand why our time up here had to be interrupted.
Understood.
I'm furious with Joe. She was my teammate 2 challenges ago. I really gave her a lot of credit in that challenge. Honestly, I think more so than I needed to.
Tom and Joe, please come forward.
Okay, I gotta ask, who made the Keebler elf?
Responsible for Keebler
Elf. She did look
really?
Like a Keebler
what
elf.
The heck
that
were
was
you
the
thinking?
Worst.
He's kind of a trailer park it's 70s guy.
Little leprechaun.
He kind of looks like he would be in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
He does. He looks like one of those bad animatronic critters.
It's not a good thing, Tom.
I like that you're trying to play with some funky little trailer trash thing, the 17. It's all cool.
I don't know what the heck went wrong there, but it went all the way wrong. What did you do to the bride?
We didn't want to add prosthetics
so
on him.
Right? He has no prosthetics
no
on,
prosthetics.
Just a lot of really gray makeup. Is that it?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
Disappointed, guys.
So Joe, who's all like jealous or whatever of Megan, who thinks she's doing crappy work, she gets put on the spot there. And I love that what they say, Connor and Megan did the best work. I like the guy Tate and that other guy. They did kind of like an Elvis or whatever, and the pregnant chick. That was kind of funny or whatever. But yeah, the best makeup was done by Connor and Megan. I love this bit here where they tell who's the best and then the elimination. I actually was entertained by this.
And Megan, the execution of your beauty makeup was flawless. Our top team tonight is Connor and Megan.
So then who's the winner?
We feel that the most successful transformation was on Willie. It's a beautiful beauty makeup. And Megan, you were most responsible for the makeup on Willie. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Then you are our winner.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I covered my face. I almost fell over. I was like, oh my God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I thought I was going to vomit all over the stage. That is the most disgusting thing I've heard since I've been here.
Congratulations, Megan. So, judges, who's going home tonight?
Your makeup tonight was an abysmal failure on all levels. The eyebrows, the beard,
this
coloring.
This is not a fan of Keebler cookies.
Joe.
Keebler
also had an unmitigated disaster because it was unambitious and
she didn't
it was a
really
simple
do anything
color
with makeup.
Makeup without
no,
prosthetics.
No, bad makeup.
And we failed even on that level.
She didn't even stretch her earlobes out.
Joe.
Walking away at this point, I've done a lot, and it does put that flame in me to keep going.
Yeah. Might be right out of school, but at least I know how to make a mold.
Word up. Word up.
Word Megan, up.
Word up.
People really say that? Say that stuff?
If you think that you can do better, do it. Don't hold back or pull on someone's coattails to get you to the win.
Forgive me, Joe.
I love that where she can't just leave. She has to say, hey. No. You know, don't write on someone's coattails.
I'm still better than you.
Yeah, I love how the Megan girl goes, I forgive you. It's like, oh!
I think she was just really jealous of her.
She must have been. She's like, my ears are brimming. Hers are back. Hers are still
mine
normal.
Were all stretched out to get attention from the hot guy over there.
Black and blue.
He's like the little cute girl. Like,
how do I get my ears back to normal? That's one question I have. I mean, I know none of us can answer it, maybe, but once you take those things out, will they ever go back to normal?
You're done.
Yeah. It's.
Can you get?
It builds up scar tissue.
So do
within
you,
the cartilage.
You'd have to have, like, surgery.
Plastic surgery or something.
Like, snip it off and then kind of, like, sand it down.
Sand it.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah. But
maybe get some prosthetic earlobes.
I'm entertained by this show. I think it's a lot of fun. I just think it's funny how they're like, oh, yeah, he just has his little girlfriend. He doesn't care about anything. It's like, no, he seems to be
doing
okay.
I loved how the Gage guy had to... chime in. Word up.
Yeah. Word up.
Word up. You know to your mother, sister.
You know how to do a mold.
Girlfriend.
So if you know how to do a mold, why didn't you do one? You know, I learned it in school. I didn't say I wanted to.
I thought was funny was that Megan did do the molds, and then whenever she was done with them, she handed them to Connor, and he cleaned them up, because there was even one point where she said, did you clean up my mold? And he was like, well, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that part.
Yep.
So, I mean, she did half the work, and then she did the makeup. I just don't understand why people have got to have such a bug up their ass about
girl. And then why are they policing her anyway?
Yeah, why do they even know that? Why are they watching?
Yeah, it's funny.
Who made them the mold police?
Yeah. She's not doing anything. And yet that dick who left a couple of weeks ago, they're like, why did he have to go? It's like, he didn't do anything.
He did the worst thing. He never helped his partners when they were teamed
up. It's just funny how everyone like picks who they don't belong here. They should go home first. And every week when somebody else goes home, the same thing has happened on Top Chef in the past.
Yeah.
Where they're like, why is that person still here? Now, let's go ahead and talk about Top Chef, because I thought something happened this week that really annoyed the shit out of me during the whole episode.
Me too. I was just pissed the entire time.
Like, we talk about Richard Blaze like every week. He's a really cool guy. He's very inventive.
And he's very humble.
He should have won the season that he lost on. He was, you know, a finalist.
Yeah, he choked.
Yeah, he choked on his thing. Hey, who knows? If we would have been there, Bill, we might have loved his food you know, better than whoever won. You never know.
Yeah.
But he has all this notebook. What is it, like a food diary of all the ideas he has,
yeah,
right?
He keeps one of those little moleskin notebooks like a writer would.
Yeah, kind of like Indiana Jones with the art stuff that he writes down.
Yeah.
And
when he comes up with something, he writes in it and keeps it for a later date. Like, oh, that's a good idea. I hope I don't forget that.
And he's showing Mike, that guy Mike, who's the annoying
Mike
guy
Isabella.
From Jersey. Mike Isabella. Showing him different stuff. And he's like, oh, that's pretty cool. Wow, you really really did your homework and stuff. And listen to as Mike says, as they, you know, the Paula Deen's on there, and she wants them all to do fried food, right?
Hi, y'all!
He says this, where he goes, notice how he doesn't say, yeah, Richard had a picture that I saw. He said, yeah, we had a picture. It's like, no, we didn't have a picture. He did, and you looked at it. But the way he words it, like...
Like it was his idea, too.
His picture.
Like, they were talking it out. Like, they created the idea together.
Yeah. And he goes, we had a picture. And I was like, I don't think so. And then he's like, Richard thinks this is his dish, but it's not, because I won it. And it's like, your logic makes no sense whatsoever. You made it because you got the idea from him, from his book and his picture. And I love, as everybody finds out later on, you know, they're like, that's not right what he did. And he's just a dick. Let's check this out.
Well, it's an incredibly serious offense.
We walk into the kitchen.
Yeah, it is. I just think from now on, like, no matter what he does, it's just like, it doesn't matter. He's a dickhead. Let's check
it out. It's like somebody going around, you know, ripping off Banksy's art. And claiming it is theirs.
Remember that one season? It was last season where everyone thought the guy stole the pea puree.
Mm-hmm.
We never had proof of it. Here, Mike admits he did it and tries to say it doesn't matter because he saw it somewhere else. Also, it's no secret that he stole it. We all know he did, and it just kind of sucks.
We walk into the kitchen, and there is Paula Deen.
Beautiful hair is right here.
Put a stick of butter in her mouth to shut her up.
I don't know if you can tell by my accent, but Southern cooking is very near and dear to my heart. You
she's
know,
from
down
Canada.
South, that's
don't believe you guys.
Southern Canada.
Did I just hear her say sorry
for
instead
your
of sorry?
Challenge, we want you to impress Paula Deen with your skills using a deep fryer.
What's this all about?
Yes.
It's a little part of the chicken where the thigh attaches to the body. They call that the oyster. It's a little bit more unique. I think people will fry chicken or people will fry oysters, but people aren't going to fry the chicken oyster.
Wow,
Richard and
so
I talked
clever.
About a similar dish this morning. We had a picture in his book, and, you know, it was kind of still stuck in
it's
my
like
head from
had
there.
A picture
like,
in his book.
Chicken oysters it is. Today I did a little twist, fried chicken oysters. It's the piece that's attached from the thigh to the body.
Mike's dish sounds very much like something that's in one of my notebooks. And I know that, you know, he's seen that before. I'm waiting for him to look at me across the room. He won't look at me. And he definitely knows it's plagiarism.
That's my dish. I can see Richard thinks I stole this dish from him, but I've seen it done before. If he thought it was his dish, he should have done it. Right?
Makes no sense.
Oh my
at all.
God. Did I forget to plate a second plate? And I did.
I have to tell you, Antonia. Hands down, your dish was the best. I could come over there, put you over my knee, and whip your cute little ass. Why did you not follow the rules? Mike's chicken oyster. I love the presentation.
Most
in the
original
shell.
Idea I've ever seen.
I'm like, in the top with Mike, but he stole my dish, so I'm competing against myself.
Tell us who the winner is, Paula. Antonia was the winner. But because of a technicality, the winner is Mike.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Don't touch me.
Congratulations, Mike. You win $5,000 furnished by Butoni.
Thank you. Thank you. So I win. I feel great. I'm going to give Richard a big fat thank you for inspiration of seeing a picture. But, Richard,
how about $2,500?
It's my dish because I won the 5 G's.
I mean, you know, Mike wins with my dish. This sucks.
Oh, Antonio, I felt so badly for you.
Sorry for you too, Antonio. Thanks for the 5 G's.
But dang it.
Mikey needs to give the money to me. It's like he wins by default and then wins with a dish that was inspired by another chef. This is bad chef etiquette.
Blaze is like, you know, his head down, whatever, whatever. Pisses me off. He's just like, come on, bro, already. If you're gonna win, be a f***ing winner. If you're gonna lose, go in the f***ing corner.
What does that even mean? It doesn't mean anything.
In his book, like, and they just talked about it that this morning. Like, the book was on there. He was like, oh, what is that? And he was like, oh, it's my idea of doing chicken oyster on an oyster shell.
That's chef law, man.
How do you know that, man? There is man law and there is chef law. You don't take another chef's idea. That's a no-no.
There's something you just don't do.
Serious chef law.
But you could tell, like, from Mike's face and his body language, like, when they were doing that competition, and Richard was like, I'm trying to look at him over there, and he won't make eye contact with me. He's kind of like, you could tell he, like, knew blatantly that he stole it.
Yeah, he was doing that, like, eye wink and arm shrug after he won. It was just like, you're an asshole.
Right, and I almost think Richard is such a nice guy. He was like, hey, you think, what if I did that that oyster idea that was in your book? Would you be cool with that? If you're not, that's cool. And it's like, nah, go ahead and do it or something like that.
Yeah.
But instead, absolutely, he just blatantly, he probably would have said, nah, that's cool. Hey, if it works for you, go ahead and give it a try. But
instead, and notice how he didn't say anything. Richard didn't say anything afterwards. He just, you know, minded his own business, didn't want to start a fight, didn't want to create
I think, and he's probably like, you know, that's it with him. I'm not showing him anything anymore. Yeah,
exactly.
And I felt really bad for Dale because he had come a long way and he won last week. And I was shocked when he was eliminated this week.
I was too. And it's funny that I actually have grown to like Dale.
Yeah,
his season, he was just such an asshole. And he's grown up so much. And
he even
just
talks
the way
about,
he leaves bad situations and he is creative and he seems like a genuine guy.
And he even talked about, like, he wanted, you know, this new, you know, being on the All Stars to show people that he'd changed a lot, that, you know, he's gone through, like, anger management and stuff like that. And I was just really shocked and by that elimination at the end. I was just like,
hell, I
shit.
Even thought his quickfire challenge looked good. It was like, was it an oyster wrapped in beef and then fried? It's like, hell, I'd have that.
Yeah, I can't remember what Paula Deen said about it.
She said it was tasteless.
Yeah, it didn't taste like anything.
Well, what the hell does she know? Everything's tasteless unless it has a pound of butter in it.
Yeah. I mean, I would eat her food, though, Bill. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, my God. I've made her food, and it's freaking magnificent, but it's like it'll kill you.
Mmm. She's one of those big personalities, isn't she?
I make a number of her things on Thanksgiving. Like, I've got to get, like, 3 pounds of butter on Thanksgiving. Because her stuff uses, like, 2-3 sticks.
That's what each recipe says. Like, shit, more butter? Okay, I'm going to go back to the store.
There's this, you wouldn't think it would be good, but she does this thing called a corn pudding. And it's kind of like a mix between cornbread and pudding. Where it's a little thicker and it's got cream corn and whole corn and cornmeal, and then it's got like sour cream and then eggs and then butter, and it's almost a pound of butter.
And whip and your cute little ass.
And it like crisps up, but the center's still moist. It's so freaking good.
Does she have a recipe for this, Bill?
Mozzarella sticks.
Southern mozzarella sticks.
Just add a little bit of blood.
With butter. You drench the mozzarella in butter first.
My God, it's horrific.
All right, guys, let's take a break.
Wait, before we take a break, have you seen there's a your little Wolverine guy has a new cooking show?
Yeah, you're right, on Sci-Fi. I don't know when it premieres, though. Do you know?
Like, it's second or third week in March.
It's called
But since
Quantum.
We're talking about the Top Chef, I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, it's called Quantum Kitchen.
Yeah, I'll make sure I don't watch it. I can't stand that guy.
Yeah. I'll definitely check it out. Oh, and that was one of the funniest things is they had to pick the old eliminated people. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny because he's a real short little guy and he was holding the white shrimp. And who was it, Tiffany, that got him? She was like,
yeah, she goes, I'll take the shrimp.
I'll take the shrimp. And he's just standing there and he's like, and she goes, and Marcel too. And they all just laughed. It was funny. Double meaning. Oh, I thought it would have been funny. I'll take the shrimp. Oh, and the food he's carrying.
Carrying.
It would have been like, hey. It made me snick my claws out.
Snicky, snicky.
All right, guys. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
It's just the work of sissies.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
G'day, class. This is the new Mead Pencil Pouch Organizer with color-coordinated features and this incredible new pouch. And I know me pouches. It's great for pencils, pens, whatever. Hop out and get one, eh? The new Mead Pencil Pouch Organizer.
Here comes Susan, sporting a stunning rendition of the new Mead Data Center with colored file pockets and color-coordinated features for all your schoolwork. And now, the complete Data Center line.
Cheese, glorious cheese.
Go ahead, pile it on.
It's the heart of a pizza.
Pile on some more.
Cheese, glorious cheese.
Keep it on frozen pizza.
Try adding some extra.
After all, it's National Pizza Week.
Cheese, mountains of cheese, poodles of cheese. Glorious cheese.
You Earth people keep stars in a bowl?
Campbell's Chicken and Star Soup.
Campbell's tastes good.
Kids love Campbell's Special Soups for Kids.
I like your planet. Good food.
Jacques, you'll ride shotgun and volcano here.
It sure lives up to its name, Matt.
Tracker here, assemble map. Venom has struck again.
Try and stop, Tracker. Burt Outlaw.
Vehicles each sold separately with two figures. Batteries not included.
Okay, Volcano, do your stuff.
Fire! Mask.
Wow.
Where illusion is the ultimate weapon. Mask, Volcano, and Outlaw. Each sold separately. New from Kenner.
This just in, Captain Crunch captured by Soggies.
We're famous.
If you help Free the Captain, you get a chance to win a $100 share of the $1 million reward in the Free the Captain sweepstakes. Freshly marked boxes give you three games with secret phone numbers to tell you which place, which door, which key frees him. Your parents can help you call.
Hooray!
Thousands will enter. Answer right, you can be one of 10,000 winners. To enter free, write Free the Captain, Box 3100, Syosset, New York, 11775.
My kids will get me out of this, Crunch. I mean, Sog.
Milk it does.
Hey, milk it does the body.
Milk it does the body good.
Pop it up.
It's one to grow on.
Wait before I've got some
cold and fuzzy. It's more than what you said before.
Ow. It is.
It makes you feel good because it tastes so great.
It really does a body good.
Pop it on.
Milk it does
the body good.
Milk it does the body
good. Pop it on.
It's the Chips Ahoy Betcha Bite a Chip and Spin Winner Game. And you could be a winner when you take a bite out of this cookie.
Not like that. Like this.
You could win exciting Kenner Mask toys or fun fluffy dogs and more. Rub off cards over specially marked bags of Chips Ahoy cookies. Or for a free card, write Chips Ahoy. CMSI Station, P.O. Box 6300, Newtown, Connecticut 06470. Zero. Millions will play. Thousands will win. Maybe you.
Watch me get Brent's Cocoa Pebbles.
Got the head
cold. Rockstone.
Cocoa Pebbles have that chocolatey taste. Go, Fred.
Got the head cold.
Chocolatey cocoa. Cocoa Pebbles are cocoa rascal.
Got the head cold.
Uh-oh, this rock's got to roll.
That was Cocoa Pebbles cereal, part of this nutritious breakfast. Yabba dabba delicious.
Mr. Turtle, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop?
I never made it without biting. Ask Mr. Owl.
Mr. Owl, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop?
Let's find out. One, two, three. Three.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop?
the world may never know.
Take it easy in that slate board, Freddy. Be careful.
You too, Dad. Don't forget to sing a song of seatbelt safety.
Huh? Oh, yeah. The seatbelt connected to the frame zone. The lap strap goes across the hip bone. The shoulder strap angles or the chest bone.
So here are the words of the law.
Those belts, those bones, those seatbelts.
For safety's sake, wear seatbelts.
I'll properly wear seatbelts and heed the words of the law.
Sometimes kids have to remind grown-ups. Yabba dabba, buckle up.
One, two, three.
I can hear and feel it when the clock strikes three. I can touch it, taste it.
Nothing like a nutritious breakfast powered by my Super Golden Crisp cereal.
Ahoy, Sugar Bear. Thanks for bringing breakfast.
Sorry, Flubber Bread. All you're getting is a vitamin-packed punch. Can't get enough Super Golden Crisp. It's got the crunch with touch.
Calling all kahunas, Sugar Bear's going surfing. And you can get your own surfing Sugar Bear toy free on specially marked boxes of Super Golden Crisp cereal. Sold separately. New from Play School.
Sure, we all love these new Giggles cookies with the peanut butter and fudge cream inside the funny faces. But all that laughing, slapping tables in the commercials, who'd act that way?
Everybody.
New peanut butter and fudge Giggles cookies.
It's a signal, it's a sign, you gotta get through. When your stomach wants to eat, you can do the art.
Rolling. What are fruit wrinkles? Wrinkles. Did someone forget to iron them? Did they stay in the bathtub too long? No. The wrinkles are where they hide all the real fruit and fun.
Want to see some pudding?
How can it be? I can't believe my eyes. Pudding roll-ups. Pudding in disguise.
Betty Crocker pudding roll-ups. Delicious creamy pudding in disguise.
Pudding roll-ups.
I will murder you violently.
Hey, what the hell? Bill, I want some of those pudding roll-ups.
Do they even pudding in disguise?
Do they make those anymore?
No. I wish they did. I love the pudding roll-ups.
The only thing I picture is pudding skin on the top of the pudding, and you peel it off.
Ew. Now that's gross.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's grody. Now, Bill, let's talk about the cape, because I don't know how many episodes of the show are left, and unfortunately, probably won't come back.
I'm not even sure what episode we're on.
Neither am I. But this was The Lich Part 2.
It's either 6 or 7. Thank you, Steven.
And there's 10 episodes. We know that. They didn't order. Yeah. There was originally 13, but they cut it to 10. Because NBC was like, we're dumb. We don't know what else to do.
That's pretty much it.
They're jackasses. But I want to know, is it because the what is that show called? The Event is coming back? Because I lost interest in that show.
Woo-hoo!
After 2 episodes.
I watched 2 episodes. I was like, this sucks. Moving on.
You know, it was like the second episode of The Event where it said, it would show like yesterday or 3 hours ago. Then finally it said 50 years ago. I'm like, what?
I thought the time was counting down.
20 million years ago. What? How was this? How was Jason Ritter even alive back then? Makes no sense. So anyway.
Makes you look like an ass.
Yeah. Okay. The cape, Bill. One of the funny parts of this, and you know, I know Trip is a little annoying, the cape's son, but there's a scene where he's trying to convince his mom to.
What do they call him on Io9?
The person who does the write up on Io9 every week of the cape calls him Trog. This week, Trug was so annoying, and people are like, his name is Trip, and the whole joke is that the person isn't care enough to know his name correctly.
Yeah. But don't tell anyone else that.
Yeah. So it starts out at first when they're in front of this hospital with it's the Cape, Rolo, and Max. I think it's funny that this superhero hangs around with these guys everywhere he goes. There's backup. And they're armed, by the way. He's always got his shotgun.
Yes, and Rolo brought dates.
He eventually finds out that he needs to get in and talk to the Tooth Fairy from Manhunter, right, Bill, and question him?
Yes.
So let's go ahead and check this out.
An insane asylum filled with zombies? I don't even know what to say to that.
That's her car. She's got to be here. If I'm right, the Lich has been living here for decades. There's no telling what's inside.
Well, we know that, Vincent. That's why we brought our dates.
Mom, Kate's on the roof. He wants to talk to you.
Oh, last week's egg salad or fourth grade science experiment gone wrong?
Seriously, Mom. He says it's really important.
Well, have him call my office to make an appointment.
Mom! What? Please don't embarrass me.
How she just thinks
you want me to go up on the roof?
Just trust me.
Fine. You want me to meet the cape?
Trog.
I'll meet the cape. Okay, now what?
Miss Faraday?
Trip, call 911.
Mom, what are you doing?
Take it easy. Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Who the hell are you? You get away from us.
Mom, you're embarrassing me.
She's freaking out. I'm sorry. How dare you? How dare you do this to him? Do you know that he just lost his father? Do you know that?
It's not like...
sick joke. Is this
please, would you just listen to me, please?
Stop it!
Trip, get inside.
You scared him away!
No, I'm still here.
That was totally rad.
A terrorist calling himself the Lich
Word
just
up.
Tried to release an aerosol toxin on the Founders
Word
Day parade.
Up.
He is a friend of mine
Word
held
up,
hostage.
Sister.
His accomplice is a man by the name of Preston Holloway. He's being held by ARC Security. I need
I
you to get me in there
the
so I can speak
you.
With him.
How come she doesn't recognize her husband?
Will you trust ARC to handle
this? I don't know.
It doesn't matter. I can't sneak a masked vigilante into a police precinct.
If that were a real police precinct, if they were doing real
like
police work, I would
like
agree with you, but
I
we both
thinking,
know
like,
that is not
Heather,
the case.
I like in a cape, and she thought
oh,
it was
I'm
dead,
asking
but,
you,
hey, I'm a superhero. She'd be like, you sound
lives
just
are at
like
stake.
My husband.
Mom,
I mean, I know he's dead,
lives
but
are at stake.
So he says,
sounds familiar.
Look, I'll think about it.
Cape, that's not good. Whenever she says she'll think about it, it means no.
Please.
I love the kids' Western chocolate.
You know what I'm
shut
telling
up,
you.
Shut up, Trog.
I may know someone who can pull some strings. Just give me a second.
Sometimes she's a little moody, but mostly...
Pull the strings. She's calling
she's
the puppet
cool.
master on the phone. Oh.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
She's pretty cool.
How would she not recognize her
I don't know.
Husband?
It's like the last week with the friend. You know, how did he not recognize
how do you not recognize your best friend? You know?
Well, how do people not recognize Batman as Bruce Wayne?
That's true.
Well, I mean, we know that like in the Christian Bale movies, he talked like this when he was Batman.
Yeah. Or Superman as Clark Kent. I mean, it's just glasses.
Right.
Glasses and posture.
Well, Superman wouldn't need glasses. That's just silly.
It's like that. Superman doesn't wear glasses, so that's obviously not him. That guy's wearing glasses.
Jeez.
So, yeah. But anyway, besides that one little thing where, like, why doesn't anyone recognize his voice? Here's what I think. He died They've accepted it. So this guy just happens to sound like him, but it can't be him because he's dead, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But there is
how do they even remember what he sounds like?
Yeah. Well, as soon as someone's dead, you forget all about him, guys.
Exactly.
But another part is when he questions...
Out of sight, out of mind.
When he questions Tom Noonan, Bill, as he's walking out, he puts his hand on the glass where hers is, on the two-way mirror. And she's kind of like, could he... I don't know.
I think she just had gas and was holding it in.
She's like, why did he stick his hand on the mirror? And anyway, I got to go to the bathroom. But
damn, I should have took that bean out.
There was some weird stuff going on with Orwell where she saw her dad in the dream, right?
Yes.
And
Peter Fleming.
There was this white door. And she said something like, where's my mother? And what was trippy is everything that was going on in her dream, it was, I'm getting confused. It was the guy who's the cape, Vince.
Vince, yeah.
But it was really the Lich talking to her. And I thought I loved the idea that he was really creepy and wanted to marry her, you know? And that Ileana Douglas was jealous, you know?
Yeah. There was this fantastic moment where Ileana Douglas is helping the Lich get dressed for the wedding. And he says, you know, after I'm married, you're going to have to move out because a married couple can't have an old woman living with them.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow.
I love that. She's just like, and I love how she calls her a whore. You whore.
Yeah.
Sitting here paralyzed, just staring up and can't
do
anything. Yes,
I'm very whorish. I can't talk or move, but I'm whoring it up right here.
That she's so nuts, she's jealous of this person. But it was. I love that they established this crazy villain. You know.
Oh, he is just—he's the perfect combination of so many villains, like Two-Face, the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's got the crazy scientific element. Yeah, it's just there's so
yeah,
many cool,
and also
cool
Scarecrow.
With him.
Like Scarecrow has like the kind
yeah.
of different stuff like that. And at the end, they say he's in Owl Island. Again, I'm like, where's this Owl Island? I got to check it out. It's like Arkham Asylum, right? I just
they're setting up so much great stuff that if it continued to exist, I think the show would just get better.
I do, too. I wish they could. I mean, I know I'm not in charge of NBC or whatever, but you know, be like, let's move this to Sci-Fi. Why not, guys?
Monkeys.
Let's put it on after Warehouse 13 and see how it does. You know, do something like that.
Warehouse 13?
Like Eureka and Warehouse 13, Bill, they have like, I believe, 10 episodes a season, or they have half season. It's really 20
episodes.
Yeah,
they have half season.
Do something like that with the Cape. It would be fantastic. I can understand if it's not successful on, you know, network.
It's
television.
Certainly better than anything Sci-Fi has on their network currently.
Well,
I mean, I have tried to I watched the first season of Eureka, gave up on it after that. I watched one episode of Whorehouse 13, and I just couldn't take it. My dad loves the show, though.
Yeah,
I've never watched any of the Stargate shit.
I watched the first season of both of those shows, and, you know, while I did like them, I lost interest where I didn't watch them anymore.
Exactly. That's exactly how it was. I think the main problem with Warehouse 13 is the guy is just not very good at all.
Mm-hmm.
He's just – there's no charisma there.
He's just kind of wisecracking guy.
Yeah, exactly.
But
that's all he
it's
is.
It's just the fact that we're watching The Cape every week and I know like, okay, there's not going to be much more left. And I get
I'm
sad.
Savoring it.
Yeah, me too. So I watch
every episode at least twice. Just, you know, I'll watch once and then just kind of throw it on.
It's
in
like
the background
stuff I
and
want.
I end up getting pulled into it.
It's like stuff I want as I'm watching. I'm like, okay, they've established the Lich where he can return later next season or something like that, you know?
Yeah. He's got his birth certificate. He's now a billionaire. So now he's like the opposite of Batman. He's a billionaire psycho.
Right.
You know, so now he can use his money to do his deranged machinations.
The thing that drives me nuts, Bill, is like I could see like the creator being like, well, we're going to launch a comic to continue the storyline or whatever. But like I've seen so many comic book type guys that haven't given it a chance at all.
Yeah.
That's what sucks is the fans didn't get behind it. I know there are fans of the show, though. I don't know.
It's a great show. I think people are just too cynical.
And I would say this is probably one of the best episodes there's been so far of the show. Did you guys like it?
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it, Laura?
Yeah.
Were you both? I mean, didn't you think it was cool how it kind of...
I like the two-parter. You know, they had to give it the cliffhanger there, and then they came back with this.
But just the idea that they're this cast of villains or whatever. I will admit that the they've got to do something with the wife and son.
Yeah.
Or at least they would have. Like, I would just say, hey, guys, it's me, okay? I know, let's stop the charade. It's me, it's Dad, it's your husband, but... Here's why I'm doing this, you know.
They should have to pretend that he's dead.
Right. I don't. It seems so cruel to not tell them. Well, I knew it was you because you sound just like my husband. Oh, I knew I need a
the same
voice digitizer or something.
The same chin.
Like even
jawline.
Green Arrow on Smallville. Remember, I'm Green Arrow. He had the voice digitizer thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, okay, let's talk about Smallville here. Because there was this movie that came out, I don't know, was it last year or the year before? It was called Date Night with Steve Carell and Tina Fey, where they take somebody else's reservations at a restaurant.
Yes.
And I haven't seen the movie, but you see from the trailer that those people are being hunted by assassins or something. I don't know, whatever. But they stole that idea for Smallville this week.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Because Oliver, he has to go incognito because everyone knows who he is. He dyed his hair black. Oh, yeah, not recognizable now, guys. He goes out with Chloe, but he can't have reservations as Oliver Queen, so they've got to wait forever. So they're like
the Joneses.
The Jones couple, you know, party of two, and they're like, let's take it. So they do, and they're like, there's a phone call for you, Mr. Jones. And the lady's like, help me,
Mr. Jones.
She's being killed or whatever. So anyway, to make a long story short, Chloe and Oliver are abducted, and they're in a trunk here. And
oh, no.
I'm very concerned. Hilarity ensues where they talk about the relationship.
Spooning and whatnot.
Yeah. Let's check it out.
What else do you do in a trunk?
When I said I wanted to spoon earlier, this isn't really what I had in mind.
We're lying alone together in the dark, okay? I think that counts for something.
Yeah, you're probably right. This is definitely the most romantic of my recent kidnappings.
Is that an arrow in your pocket? Right?
No, that's my very sharp penis.
No, I did not forget that it's been a year since we started doing...
The nasty.
Whatever it is that we're doing.
Whatever it is that we're... Wow. Okay. You weren't joking around at the restaurant, were you? You don't know what to call me.
Not in so many words.
I call him Ollie.
We spend every waking moment together, right? We said our I love yous how many times, huh? Several. What do you call that?
I love the sense of danger on the show, don't you guys?
Yeah, they don't even see
what are they talking about?
Dude, if there is a later.
They're trying to discuss their relationship while they're being kidnapped.
Oh, is that what it is?
Huh? I love this part.
Nice.
We're just about to ask you the same thing.
What? Am I the only one who's confused here?
We know you aren't the Joneses. Who are you?
So why did you kidnap us then, you jackass?
Yeah, he's right. We should introduce ourselves.
Yeah, let's just beat the shit out of them, because that's an answer.
This music reminded me of Top Chef Quick Fire music. All right, let's chop these up.
Fire.
This
is their,
get 3 seconds.
This is their Quick Fire challenge.
And this is Jones.
Beating some ass.
Oh. I love you.
And then they're like, I love you. And they start going, what? It's like, what? Ah! No! And then, you know, there's this, I guess Darkseid is the villain this year that we're supposed to remember. And the only way I remember is the previews. I'm like, oh, yeah. That's the thread running through these episodes. I forgot
about the darkness.
And I'm not saying this just to be mean, guys. So to all you AVS guys on the Smallville thread,
we know how religiously you listen.
Honestly,
they band-mount this again.
I start to get droop eye in this these episodes. I'm like, wait, what was it? And I'm like, wait, what did they say? Maybe I should rewind. Nah, it's all right. Yeah. I need to know.
Oxygen stops transporting into my brain.
Yeah, it's
and
like,
I have like mini strokes while watching.
It reminds me of like when I'd watch Steven Seagal Lawman or be like, So, what happened? Hey, the show's over? What happened? Holy shit.
I completely lose any, like, functions. I, like, pee myself a little while watching.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, everything just completely stops working.
But it's just like, when you're watching this, there's no sense of danger or what happens. We're all waiting for the final episode where he puts the suit on. Am I right? That's it.
Yeah.
Do we care about Clark and Lois getting married?
No.
No.
No. It's just, in a nutshell.
Because that's ridiculous.
We're just waiting for him to become Superman.
Help! I'm in a nutshell.
Exactly.
Is it a lead nutshell? Oh, I thought it was funny, too.
Now, how many more episodes are left?
Too many.
Who cares? They really are. I think when I do the pictures for the Enhanced podcast, I look on an episode guide where I can, you know, Google the name of the episode. And the episode guide, I think I saw at least 6 episodes. I was like, no, there's too many episodes left of this season.
Wow. I'm cured. I'm done.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen's not watching Smallville anymore.
He got cured of watching it.
He's watching Blow and Hose.
Thank you. No, I'm straight.
Yeah, that's true. All right, guys, let's talk about Fringe. I really liked last week's episode of Fringe because it dealt with a building where creepy shit's happening, I guess. And it turns out that there's this lady.
Owned by Evo Shandor.
Yeah, did you guys like how, it was creepy how the people fall through the...
Yeah, that was creepy.
Balcony?
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, at least, like, if you're faced with death, you have a chance. Those people had no chance at all.
Yeah.
They're just chilling at a party.
It reminded
me... I like how they discovered that they fell through the balcony, not throw themselves off the balcony.
Yeah, it's like, there's no way they could have landed where they did. It just doesn't make any sense, and... There's a lot of great stuff here with Walter fearing that there are cracks starting to develop on our side. And he had this whole thing of they have to use the amber like they do over there. And we already know that's horrible because they determined in those episodes earlier that people are alive there in that amber. In that great episode with the twins where he was like, I'm totally aware of what was going on the entire time I was encased there. It's like, that's kind of sad because you assume they're all dead in there, but they're perfectly preserved.
Starved to death or suffocated.
No, puts them in suspended animation.
Yeah, they're just suspended in animation and they're conscious, which is horrifying. So Walter doesn't know that, of course, and he's thinking about doing the same thing, you know, and that's a whole debate here. But there is great stuff about ghosts. The woman thinks that she's seeing her dead husband's ghost and stuff, and here they debate things that go on. And let's check it out.
Nothing. I thought there'd be some radiation leakage from over there.
So you're not buying that it's her husband's ghost?
There's no such thing as ghosts.
That's where you draw the line? Ghosts?
Billy and I used to argue about this constantly. What happens to the body's energy after death? William theorized we should be able to capture that energy using what he called soul magnets.
It's a catchy name.
I have a feeling
that if he were right, he would contact me from the great beyond.
So,
I haven't gotten the coordinates.
Well, if she didn't see her husband's ghost, then what did Mrs. Merchant see?
If her husband had this apartment, then it stands to reason that her husband's double may have this apartment on the other side. Which proves I'm right. The universe is breaking apart at this very spot. That woman is seen through to the other side, mistaking the other Derek for her husband.
Which is why I can see him, too.
Yes. And if the fabric separating our universes is so thin that Mrs. Merchant can see through it... This is not good at all.
Walter, I understand why she can see through and I can't, but how is it that Mrs. Merchant can see through?
Right now, I'm not interested in how, Peter. I'm more concerned about what happens next.
Hey.
Sorry. The woman who lost her husband, Alice Merchant. Why can she see through to the other side? You can do it, but only when your emotions are heightened. That emotional intensity is your trigger.
Well, she's grieving her husband. That's emotionally intense.
Sure, but people lose loved ones all the time. It's sad, but what makes her so unique?
And why can she only see her husband's double and not her own? I mean, if they both live on the other side, then she should see them both, right?
Maybe the other Alice lost the coin toss. She told you that they used to flip a coin to see who was going to have to go fix the fuse. Well, maybe the exact same thing happened on the other side, but on the other side...
Alice died instead of Derek. Is it possible that these two people, both grieving for a version of each other in the exact same spot, are somehow causing this soft spot?
Some form of emotional quantum entanglement, perhaps. Spooky action at a distance.
Einstein. Two objects interacting with each other even though they're separated by a great distance.
Man had a way with words.
So it is possible.
In theory.
I like that bit at the end when the woman was sitting there. And this whole thing had to do with also the parallel of Peter and Olivia having a relationship, right? There's a part where he kind of talks her into... He tells her why the reason we're not going to have a relationship is because you're afraid. And she goes to kiss him and he does the glimmer thing and it kind of freaks her out a bit. And there's this moment where the lady's sitting there in her apartment and she sees the husband, right? And even Peter can see him too, because that's how close they're getting. And he says, you already shared your life together. It's over. He's dead. You need to move on. You guys had that life and it lasted a long time. Everything is great. But a lot of people, you know, are going to die if you don't let him go. And, you know, it's hard to convince her. And I love the guy is saying how much he misses her and stuff. It's making it worse. Like, shit, stop talking to him. Mm-hmm. But when he says, you know, something about
the
like
kids.
The kids miss you. Our
girls. The girls miss you, too.
And she's like, what girls? And he goes, our daughters. She's like, we don't have any kids. And then, thank God, that was like, then she was like, okay, this isn't my husband.
Well, see, that's the, you know, talking about the little quantum thing here on this is, well, in both universes, they bought the same apartment. Well, one, they would buy it. The other one, they shouldn't have bought it.
Not necessarily.
No. No, that's the whole thing about it.
No, it means that he owns
it.
He owns the building in both universes. His family was passed down through his family.
Yeah, it's not necessarily the opposite in that world. It's just subtle differences.
Walter was a scientist in the other world, is, you know, the
and
same as he was in this world. They were working,
you know,
on the same stuff.
Remember, there was even last season they had the building that was unstable and a guy fused with his other self.
Yeah.
And like one version could be married, one could not, or one's dating, or you have different jobs.
Where you're getting confused is that there are these micro changes, and that's the whole thing with the alternate universe that
I guess
reading in Brian Greene's book, is that these tiny, tiny choices that are insignificant to us can
create
a whole other universe.
And that's one thing that Fringe hasn't brought up. There is this world that they've gone into, but aren't there multiples?
Yeah, there's a multiverse.
So there could be one where the guy's not living in the same apartment, but there is that world where the wife died instead of him. They flipped the coin and she got it and she went and checked the fuse or whatever and was electrocuted.
Yeah, and each universe is on a different timeline.
But I almost
that's why I say that universe, if it's the complete opposite, because if one's heads, one's tails,
right,
it's complete opposite.
But they're not.
No,
they're
it's
not.
It's
just little differences.
It's just chance that she died instead because it was based all on that coin flip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But
it's
a
50-50.
I wondered this, which would have been hard to take, but if Olivia was like, I'm going to have to shoot this lady in the head, would that have stopped it? I don't know, but that
I would have to
scary.
Assume it did because she was the conductor.
Mm-hmm. Because otherwise they have to release the amber in the building. And, you know, you realize when that's happening and they're really afraid they're going to have to use this thing. They even tell them to get out of there. And because Peter and Olivia didn't get out, they didn't set it off. I have a feeling they would have.
Well, there was a point where the vortex actually opened.
Right. And you get the sense that how horrible it would be if that shit started here. It was a good episode to have that threat where you're like, oh, shit, this stuff could get real and really be really
shit
sucks.
Just got real.
Yeah, and then Bill, I love the little ending to the episode where it shows the other world with Felivia and her partner, and they show up and they're like, there was some kind of event happening, but apparently it's ended. And they knock on the door, and the guy answers, just like, no, nothing's going on, or whatever. And you see him, he goes back to his photo album that he's still, he pining. Can't let her go. Yeah, he's still pining over the death of his wife. I thought that was good. I love when Fringe does stuff like that. But I'm really excited about tonight's episode. It looks awesome.
I don't remember what it was.
It deals with young Olivia and Peter.
Oh, yes.
Looks awesome.
That looks like it's going to move the plot forward quite a bit.
I can't wait. Now, guys, let's talk about Spartacus. Gods of the Arena. Good stuff, huh? We know that Titus has told Batiatis that he's got to get rid of his wife. It's just not working.
Bitch needs to go.
She can't she can't get pregnant. She doesn't have any money, so boot her ass, right? And I love that Titus is like, I need to figure out the rankings of these gladiators, so we're going to have a contest to have them all fight each other. And friggin' Asher, Bill. God, do we hate this guy or what?
What a scumbag.
It's funny because he basically got the guy...
Dagon?
Yeah, Dagon, the guy who he's translating to, he got him some man love last week. He's pretty pissed off about it. He's like, my ass hurts, you know, or whatever. But I love the scene where they fight, and he's like, hey, could for an old friend, maybe you could have me win, or whatever. He's like,
no, he says, don't beat me too bad.
Right.
Let me get some shots in.
Yeah, and just the scene where he takes his eye, man, that was gross.
Oh, man, that was brutal.
It was nasty.
I don't like seeing anything involving eyes. Like, that's my going all. I think from when I was a kid and I saw that that fake Salvador Dali film where they slashed the woman's eye with a straight razor.
Yeah, I'm glad I haven't seen
what
that movie.
What is that?
Jeez. What?
You never saw that?
How old were you when you saw that?
Probably like 6.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's way too young to see something.
Hey, well, my dad showed me the morning after and all the nuclear bombs and shit when I was 5. And
the day after.
That seared my mind for the rest of my life.
I'd say you've had enough.
So, yeah, I saw some screwed up shit, not on purpose, though. Yeah, I never meant to see that film, but, you know, I just saw that and I was like, oh, my God, he's just cut that woman's eye.
So while they have this contest going on, Batiatis and Lucretia are trying to think of, hey, what are we going to do to fix this? And they come up with the idea that, hey, maybe I could kill my dad. And I love that scene where they're in the arena and he's holding that stick, you know?
Yeah.
And his dad is saying how much he's disappointed in him and he wishes he could love him, but he can't. But he's like, he can't do it. And I'm waiting for him to just beat his dad to death, but he can't do it. And I thought that was really interesting. But we have the scene here where I kind of put them both together, where Batiatis is questioning his dad doing this contest without him around because he's expecting – he's like, oh, you're so ready for me to leave. And then this great ending, Bill, where the dad falls ill. And they send Batiatis out to the corner drugstore to get some medicine. I assume that's what it is, don't you? It's some kind of like corner.
Yeah, just go, you know, medicine and some
the wall
maybe
of
a couple
greens,
sodas.
Right? Wall of greens or something like.
Yeah.
And he takes on a mask.
A bag
with
of munchos.
I don't know about you, but I would
get some tato skins while you're there, son.
He takes on a mask with
gratitude.
Him. And I would take on a mask with me wherever I went. He'd be a good bodyguard to have with his whip and everything. And we already know that Crixus and Gannicus have fought. And there's this great scene where they're – I got to say, man, the fighting in this episode was really good. Where it's like hard hitting and stuff. And this is the closest you're going to get to comic book type fighting, you know, where you feel the punches and everything. And Gannicus keeps looking up. Is it Melina or Melita? He keeps looking up at Animaeus' wife. The beautiful slave girl.
Yes.
And he keep, you know, before he's dreamt of when he sees her and when they were making love, I wouldn't even really call it that, in front of the Romans or whatever. But then he starts, he doesn't remember the best parts anymore. He remembers her looking away like she can't meet his gaze, her look of disgust as she turned away. And then he's like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to get my ass beat and get out of here. And I thought that was a really good scene, the way it played out, because Titus, he wants to give Gannicus to Tellius. And I think it's creepy how Tellius is like, I want Gannicus. And I'm like, what are you going to do with him? Is he like a gladiator, or you have other plans? I don't understand that. But let's go ahead and check this out, guys.
What is this?
Contest to rank the men.
My decision yet to be given voice, and you proceed as if I am already absent.
This house must be turned to order regardless of whether you happen upon your senses.
Lucretia is my wife.
A word that should lift a man, filling his life with ease and children. She gives you neither.
You seek to tear heart from chest and expect gratitude that no longer beats.
I seek only to call you son, absent shame in the title.
And I only ever wish to make you proud.
The rankings will be decided at contest's end 2 days hence. I will grant you equal time to prove that you have moved beyond past transgressions. Dissolve your marriage. Or call me father no more.
I bow and scrape eating his shit and thanking him for the pleasure, and this is reward. To be turned from my home, my husband.
You must make greater show. Ply him with dutiful words. See his cup always filled with wine.
To what end? He's already made his decision.
No. He places it in my hands. To prove that I am worthy of being called his king's son.
And what response have you given?
I have managed to delay the presenting of it until the men have been ranked in contest.
I would have thought your answer immediate.
Well, we need time to convince him of your worth.
Is he the one that needs convincing, Quintus?
I will not have that, King Tone. I defend you at every turn.
And I have made every sacrifice. I have borne every duty asked, and yet here I stand on the brink. What more can I do? I've given you everything.
Except a child. I speak without thinking.
Now you speak your heart.
Can't believe he went there.
Lucretia.
I want no wine.
Medicus gave order. Drink.
Yes, special wine.
It should help you rest.
My son.
I got this from the Jones compound.
Gives up everything.
As I for him.
You truly love him?
With all my heart.
He's never happier than when he's by your side. Tell me I have been mistaken about you. Tell me you're not the serpent I have thought you to be.
I am not. I'm far worse. I never cared what you thought of me. My lack of breeding, my absence of family or name of worth, these things I cannot deny. But how low you considered your son. A man I love more than life itself. That could not be tolerated. So I began poisoning your beloved honey wine. My intent, not to rob you of life. Only to mimic illness. The cough. Increasing in its discomfort. I easily blame on Capua's dust and heat. It brought much joy when you departed for the wet shores of Sicilia. Quintus. How he flourished when removed from overbearing shadow. And then you returned to torture him as you did all those years. So I began bringing you your honeyed wine again to force you back to Sicilia. Yet it was not enough. You were not moved despite ailing health. More permanent solutions required between us. One that I added to Talia's gift.
God, what in the hell did she give him? Because he starts coughing up blood. He's like,
I'm having something nasty.
I put battery acid in your wine. It's like, where'd you get that at?
Some 9 volts found over the cliff.
But unfortunately, Melita, you know, she knows that Gannicus is being shipped off, so she's going to steal some wine and take it down and have a drink with him before he leaves. So she's sipping on the same wine. And I thought that scene was pretty sad. And the scene where Animaeus comes back with Badiatis, first they see her, and then he looks up, he sees everyone sitting in his father's bedroom. One thing I want to know, where I'm really excited about this episode, next episode, Bill, is does Batiatis suspect his wife did something, or is he going to just suspect that Telly has poisoned his father's wine and motivate him even more for revenge? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't think he ever finds out that Lucretia did it, right?
Yeah, if he found out, would he be mad or would he not?
He'd probably kill her.
He'd probably be pretty pissed.
I mean, he doesn't care for his father, but it's twisted family thing.
If anyone's going to kill him, it's going to be me, you know, or something like that. Well, he even said, you know, I couldn't kill my dad, you know. He's an asshole, but I don't want him dead. Come on, you know. And now we know how Animaeus is. You know, the moment I saw her dying there, I thought back to Animaeus said, "I never drink. You never know what will happen when you under the influence or whatever." And his wife took the wrong drink of wine, basically. So that's a good lesson to learn from. You can see why he learned that lesson that evening.
No wine is free.
Until Spartacus convinced him, no, come on, let's drink some. And I really miss Spartacus, damn it, when I think about his character and stuff. And
you miss Andy Whitfield.
Yeah, I need to rewatch the first season again, Bill, after this, when it's over.
It's on Netflix again, right?
Yeah, it's there.
I'm going to give it a watch, too.
I need to own the Blu-ray, though.
I hear that the Blu-ray is stunning.
Yeah, I really want to see it. But I really love this series. I'm glad they did this. And we got more Badiatis and Lucretia. I think it's cool. Can't wait. Did you guys like it?
Yeah, that was good.
You enjoying the series, Bill? It's going to be sad when it's over?
I'm enjoying it more than I think I should be. Mainly because I don't know. I have little issues with it. But on a whole, it's very entertaining, and I'm glad we have, you know, 6 parts.
The reason the prequel exists, we know, is because they couldn't do the second season.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like something that they could get going while they're waiting for Annie Whitfield to...
Yeah, but now we still have to wait an entire year before we see anything.
Right. And what are your issues with it? Just that their storyline that you just wanted to get to the Spartacus story, or...
No, I feel that some of it is, some of it feels a little rushed.
Yeah.
Like, the entire Gannicus stuff, like with him, it just feels overly manipulative to kind of describe what happened with,
6 episodes.
Doctori's wife.
Yeah. I mean, I think they did the best with that they have. 6 episodes isn't a lot.
No, and I think that's the problem. I think that's its flaw, is that it's not giving enough time to build up character. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of, it's all in glances. Right. And
I guess mentally I've forgiven it for how short a time they had to establish things. Like, I know that because they told us Animaeus and Gannicus are good friends, because they told me, they didn't necessarily show me them hanging out a lot and having a good time. Maybe one scene of that, but...
Yeah, exactly.
We just have to assume it. There's things like that. The one thing
How did their friendship come about? Like, I guess I would like to see more history.
And one thing they're going to have to do in their prequel even more, you know. But I have no idea what's going to happen to Gannicus. But also, I just want Tellius to die in this final episode. That's all I'm asking for, okay? Can we have that? All right.
I would hope that they would give that to us. Him and that pipsqueak.
Oh, yeah. God, I can't wait. All right, Bill, you want to do some news?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do the news! pretty old school.
Smoking hotties.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
Are you going to continue, Charlie?
I think he's done.
He's done? All right, a 21-year-old former criminal justice major is accused of frying under the influence. The troubles for the man started around 1:25 a.m. when he tripped the alarm where he works, the Pizza Hut in St. Cloud, Minnesota.
I'm cured. I'm done.
Yeah. He had access to the building, but he just didn't reset the alarm. I guess that happens whenever you're drunk. Officers arrived and found the restaurant back door open. They came upon a man inside and saw that he had tried to deep fry some boneless chicken wings. The marinara sauce must not have been to his liking, as he threw some on the wall, police said. After his arrest, the man was given a preliminary breath test, and it came back a point. 2-2, which is nearly three times the legal limit.
Wow.
Yeah, I think 0.08 is legally drunk.
Dude's loaded, man.
I'm surprised he could even fry anything at that, being that drunk. The suspect was jailed on suspicion of third-degree burglary, but of course, since the man actually worked there and was able to enter without breaking an entrance, the charge was dropped and he would just be charged with theft.
He's a righteous dude.
And he has actually been studying criminal justice, so maybe it will help him in his process. I don't know. Isn't criminal justice just like CSI shit that they have at technical colleges?
I guess so.
Like, you too can study criminal justice.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think it's in the back of, like, Dallas Observer and stuff. You know?
All right.
I will love you violently.
A billboard with a cartoon cucumber on I-35 isn't an ad for a new VeggieTales DVD. actually, the billboard with the message, "Stop Vegetable Abuse," comes from the owners of shops that sell lingerie and adult novelties.
Oh, no.
It's just the work of sissies.
At least one parent called the billboard highly offensive. Rebecca Blake spotted the billboard one Sunday. Well, of course it was Sunday as she was headed to church. I mean, yeah, I mean, ideally.
How dare you break wind before me?
She says they saw a big billboard with a cucumber on it and a face, and it said "Stop Vegetable Abuse." And her daughter said, "What's that? Stop Vegetable Abuse." It freaking matters, honey. No kid has any idea what it means.
To the man.
Beneath the frowning cartoon cucumber are two web addresses: condomstogousa.com and Sarah's Secret. Both shops that sell lingerie and adult novelties. For them to have to be exposed to something like that in a very public place is just uncalled for and offensive, the mother said.
Oh, my God.
I'll take the cucumber out of your ass.
Just do what I do sometimes. I go, I don't know. That's interesting. Change subject.
Exactly.
But anyway, what happened on Dora this week? Yeah.
People like this live for this shit. Of course, you know she made it. We were headed to church. Oh, yeah. No, you weren't, you lying sack of shit.
We're on our way to a good, wholesome brunch at the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
And then we're off to church, and this happened.
Oh, my God.
It would be okay in a magazine. I could choose not to buy that magazine, but I can't choose not to see that billboard. You're an asshole. I hate people that get a bug up their ass about these sort of things. Like,
yeah.
Does this make their life better to complain about something so minuscule in the grand scheme of things?
I know. And it's usually about something to do with sex.
Yeah. Oh, we're so uptight. She doesn't have sex.
What?
All her
Am
children
I the only one
who's
confused were here?
Immaculate conceptions. They're all holy.
When it comes down to it, the main thing with people ever having problems with it is they don't get laid enough. Am I right? Is that what it is?
Or, you know, no, I think it's not that they don't get laid enough. I think it's that they were raised in a very uptight environment to what, like, sex is dirty to them.
Right.
It's like a dirty thing. It's not something that two people that love one another share.
Bullshit, I cured it with my brain.
It's filthy. Oh, it's filthy.
Only if it's done right.
I never.
Exactly, Steven.
He was a pussy.
I'm going to leave it at that. I could go. Yeah. All right, and it's time for Bill's Creepy Science Corner, a new segment. Male monkeys that cover themselves in their own urine tend to attract female monkeys.
There's no such thing as ghosts.
You know what? I'm going to have to try this. Monkeys are our cousins. I'll do this. Turns out male monkeys aren't taking the proverbial when it comes to their grooming habits and trying to catch a mate. Scientists believe they can finally explain a baffling habit displayed by capuchin monkeys who urinate on their hands, then rub the urine into their fur.
Yeah, wasn't it funny that something so cute is so disgusting? It's like, they're so cute.
I'm going to pee on myself.
I'm not petting that monkey anymore.
I'm a crazy cute little monkey. I will pee all over myself.
I think you're wrong.
Male monkeys attract females by sending a message that they are single and available through rubbing urine into their fur.
Oh.
And apparently, if humans do this, they just represent that they're a hobo.
Couldn't they find another way to advertise that?
Hell no.
Monkeymatch.com.
Ew.
Or no, it would have to involve some sort of, like, urinematch.com. Without the smell.
Ew.
Find a monkey without the smell. There's more activity in the brains of female tufted capuchins when they are exposed to the smell of urine of sexually mature males. So it turns them on. All right.
I don't even know what to say to that.
A little golden shower activity with the monkeys.
Oh, no.
Just add a little behind your ears. You need it in your fur.
Do I smell urine? Ha cha cha. Several hypotheses for why they perform this urine wash have been tested by earlier studies, but most had been proved inconclusive. Possible reasons they've been put forward previously included the possibility that it somehow helped to maintain body temperature. Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
They just like the smell.
Is it possible they're just kinky little shits?
I think that's what it is. I mean, look at that monkey that was on Californication.
Monkeyfetish.com.
That old monkey was throwing poo at...
Oh, yeah.
Creepy Earl.
That was quite possibly one of the funniest episodes of Californication ever.
That was great.
With the monkey and Fisher Stevens.
Fisher Stevens. He was, like, just as creepy.
Yeah. All right. So if you happen to be capuchin, just, you know, rub some piss on yourself. You'll find a lady. It helps.
Nice. That's all it takes. All right.
Here's another disgusting story. Breast milk ice cream is being introduced in London to customers Thursday after a parlor used milk donated by UK moms to make the totally natural treat.
What?
What, you wouldn't want to eat breast milk ice cream?
No.
Especially breast milk from an anonymous woman?
Ew.
Yeah, no
hey,
shit.
It's healthy, right?
I don't... Ugh.
You're a baby.
Victoria Hiley, 35, a mother of one from Leeds in North England, had already donated a liter of her breast milk to Ice Creamist's parlor for the dish it calls Baby Gaga. Ugh. What's the harm in using my assets for a little extra cash while grossing everyone else out? She responded to an advert for milk suppliers on another parenting website. What could be more natural than fresh, free-range mother's milk in an ice cream?
I'm going to milk it.
Well, now that she explains it like that.
Bunch of pregnant ladies running in a field.
I mean, we don't know where the cow's been.
One big lady.
You know, we don't know where the cow's been, so.
Probably standing in its own shit.
Yeah, at least we know the lady takes a shower.
Cow chips!
Looks like you're working out
some issues range. We don't know that she's taking showers.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, exactly. She could be all hairy and dirty.
Oh, this is getting grosser by the second.
Cow chips! The new parlor based in London's trendy Covenant. Or Covenant. Jesus.
The Coven?
Coven? No, it's Coven. Coven sounds like oven.
Oh, no, it's Coven.
It's Coven. God, I love it. Where's he from? Minnesota or Milwaukee? Or
he's from Green Bay, Wisconsin, I thought.
Green Bay, Wisconsin. Oh, yeah, don't you know. It's Coven.
I'm done. It's on. Bring it, as I say. I ain't hiding.
Okay.
So Covent Garden District, this if you want to go there, that's where it is. The Covent Garden.
That is the most disgusting thing I've heard since I've been here.
Yeah.
It sounds like where hippies would hang out. They pay $24 for every 10 ounces of milk, so ladies, if you're still lactating, why not, you know, make a little cash on the side?
Dollars and eh.
Matt O'Connor, 44, who runs Ice Creamists, makes the dish by blending the breast milk with Madagascan vanilla pods and lemon zest.
Vanilla pods?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds
you better
awesome.
Watch out.
That sounds kind of cool, actually.
Might be pod people. Watch out for trouble.
You can
trophy.
Milk anything with nipples.
But they're just vanilla pod people.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're delicious.
I have no idea you could
plain
make a
vanilla.
No one's done anything. Thing interesting with ice cream in the last 100 years, the maker said.
Okay. I'm sure there's some people at ice cream parlors have been like, I object.
Yeah.
Could you milk me?
Some people will hear about it and go, yuck, but it's pure, organic, free range, and totally natural.
I will love you violently.
I'm sorry, I can't do it. I just can't.
No.
Breast milk is for children. Yeah. Tiny babies, brand new.
And from their
mom.
Need
the colostrum, you know, all the science of it. It's a wonderful thing. But no thanks.
Would it make, okay, say it was like, no, it'd still be weird.
What?
No, I was going to say, like, it's just too, say when you were a baby, when your mom was pregnant, she stored it and kept it in a freezer. And then they're like, hey, let's make ice cream out of this. Then you, it'd still be really disturbing.
No,
never
that,
mind.
Yeah, that's gross. I thought, and like, I know my sister, whenever she was lactating, she froze it for her baby at a later time. But not
yeah, that's different.
She didn't pull out and go, let's make some ice cream with this.
I got a crazy idea.
It's just the work of sissies.
Get the vanilla pods.
Vanilla pod? That sounds weird.
I love lemon.
Yeah, I've always called them vanilla beans, but I guess in the UK they call them pods.
That is weird. Biscuits, crackers, chips, whatever.
Crisps.
Yeah.
Tatoes.
What the hell?
Bangers, sausages.
What's a cookie? What's a wafer? What's a biscuit? I don't know.
Everything's got to be so goddamn difficult with them.
That's a no-no.
All right, this is in my neck of the woods, Medina, Ohio. City man pleaded not guilty Tuesday to persistent disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. Crimes that allegedly occurred while he was high on bath salts.
Eating his shit.
Bath salts?
Bath salts. This is apparently the new
snorting bath
thing
salts
that kids are doing.
You can snort that?
Yeah, you crush up certain bath salts, and it makes you freaking loony.
What? Am I the only one who's confused here?
Yeah.
I don't know the science of it.
How did somebody figure out to do that?
Hey, how do you do it? Because I think I have some.
Let me look
you
it up.
Chop it up like
bath salt high. People snorting bath salts get cocaine-like high.
Great.
It's like someone's in my soup.
They were banning a certain brand.
Yeah. Is it? Young chemical. 12 calls. Young adults
There's
abusing
no
the chemicals. Powders sold as ivory snow,
Bliss, and Vanilla Sky, and other brand names are not common bath salts and contain ingredients MDPV or methephedrine, stimulants that can cause rapid heart rate, seizures, and hallucinations. Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, wow. I need to get a hold of some bath salts.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads.
So police were called to the residence of Lucas Cocab? K-O-C-A-B?
I thought you said cokehead.
Cokehead? Lucas Cokehead? We'll just keep it at that.
The shoe fits.
And this is for the second time in a month. So Cokehead called police because he thought there were 30 intruders in the house.
30.
30, yes. Whoa.
An exact number, 30.
They show up in a bus?
He counted the hallucinations. But none of them were there when police arrived, apparently. Huh, go figure.
They're hiding behind that one guy.
Yeah. They were all hiding in a single line behind a tree. Cokehead allegedly was running in circles, yelling and acting paranoid, and Lieutenant Bob Starcher had to use a taser on Cokehead in order to handcuff him. He said the intruders were trying to make it seem like they were not there, and they would try to blend into their surroundings, like ninjas. Chairs in trees.
They're shapeshifters.
Yeah. Heidi Miller, 29, of the same address, reportedly admitting to snorting bath salts for a few hours before the incident. She also was charged with persistent disorderly conduct and has pleaded not guilty. Because she didn't really do anything. They didn't call because of her. Cokehead was taken to Medina Hospital, and he was arrested Friday after he was released. He's free on his personal recognizance bond. He was also taken for a psychological evaluation at the time.
I don't even know what to say to that.
These bath salts contain a synthetic drug that mimic the effects of methamphetamines. What would happen if you put them, like, actually used them how they were supposed to be used?
Do you think they're going to remove that ingredient if people start doing this?
Well, I'm sure they already have.
Are you kidding?
Well, all they have to do is read a story like this and get the idea, because I
didn't know about
it. I have
some lavender bath salts in my closet that I got as a housewarming gift a couple of years ago. Yeah, I'll try and
now you have a use for it.
People are trying to get high, probably tried everything in their house, and they were finally like, man, I finally hit pay dirt!
Bath salts! Let's crush these up. What if I took a packet of the seasoning from ramen noodles and snorted that? That's pretty salty.
Smoking hotties.
Yeah, because Lowry's seasoning salt doesn't work.
Oh, you tried that?
No, I already tried that. But it tastes delicious.
Drugs.
All right, here's a man who just wants to stay fresh. Officials said a Newark man's been sentenced to 15 years for $180 worth of stolen deodorant from a Rite Aid pharmacy on Kearney Avenue in Newark. He broke into the store and stuffed the $180 worth of deodorant down his pants. This is his 75th arrest.
75th?
So I guess 75 is the magic number to get 15 years in prison.
It took him a while, didn't it?
It's not like in California where there's three strikes. In New Jersey, it's 75 strikes.
Strike 75.
You're out of here.
You must make great a show.
Forest Grove, Oregon. A man accused of breaking into a Forest Grove school district offices and a nearby church stole just enough for a small snack, but he didn't get away with it. Forest Grove's officers say Christopher Robinson. Wait a second!
Hey!
Christopher Robinson! Pooh made him do it!
And whip your cute little ass.
I just want a little bit of honey. He's 26. He set off an alarm when he broke into the school administration building early Sunday afternoon. There was just enough time for him to grab a handful of Dum Dum candies before his escape. According to the authorities, police arrived and found Robinson walking nearby. When they confronted him, police say Robinson confessed not only to the school district burglary, but also to breaking into St. Betty Church earlier in the day, where
You're
he admittedly stole a liter of Sprite.
That little
Shame.
Thief.
And some confessional wafers.
FS. So I hope he enjoyed that drink and candy, because he's going to be someone else's candy in prison.
Wow, he's going to prison? Oh, my God.
Yes, he is.
Strike 75?
he was arrested and taken to the Washington County Jail on two counts each of burglary and criminal mischief and theft. So
I speak without thinking.
Dum-dums and Sprite. Ain't worth the
No, I would say not.
So that's news for this
week. Unless they're really good dum-dums, I guess. All right, Bill, thanks for doing the news this week. What do you say we mosey on into the DVD foyer?
The foyer? But only if we mosey.
All right.
I won't power walk.
Let's do some DVDs! Woo! Oh my God, what's going on? Bar and Steven are fighting. Guys, knock it off! Stop!
Kick his ass, Seabass!
And it was a draw.
What?
Here, let's have snacks.
Mozzarella sticks.
That's the marinara.
That's what I love to do, have a fight and then have some snacks.
I hope this is marinara. It's just Gordon Ramsay, he'd probably go marinara.
Marinara?
You know, it's like sometimes he says things, I'm like, what? Come on.
Well, that's not good.
All right, Bill, what DVDs do we have this week?
You know, I honestly thought Steven was going to have a blowout on that first let's do some DVDs. Like his throat was going to burst open.
Nah.
All right,
survived.
Let's grab DVDs for, holy shit, March 1st. Tuesday, March 1st, 2011. Starting off with the highly overrated. Well, I don't know if it's overrated. It's just not very good. 127 Hours. The James Franco, Danny Boyle film where he's...
No, that's what they said about Danny Boyle's last movie, Bill.
What was his last movie?
You know, the millionaire, Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, the Indians. Slumdog Millionaire is a good movie. It's just not a great movie. It's certainly not Best Picture movie.
Does Danny Boyle either have overrated movies or underrated movies?
You know what? It's kind of funny. I think you kind of nailed it there on the head. I don't think he ever has a movie where everyone goes, hey, that's a good movie. It's either that sucks or that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love his sci-fi film Sunshine. I think it's one of my favorite films of all time. I think it's perfect in every way. And I know a lot of people hate it and not a lot of people like it.
It's very good. 28 Days Later, really, it's a good movie.
Yeah, I really enjoy the hell out of that film, too. And Trainspotting,
I think
that was
his
first film.
That's another you could say is overrated, Trainspotting. I mean, no, 28 Days Later, you could say people are, you know, be like, it's not that great, you know.
Yeah.
It is.
And then there was
going
the sequel that someone else did 28 Weeks Later with, his name? Shit, I always forget that guy's name.
That movie, I do find that movie annoying because the kids drive me nuts. Just the fact that it all happens just annoys me, you know?
Yeah. But this 127 hours, it's okay. It's just, I honestly, at times it gets too artsy-fartsy and it kind of makes you groan. Like, that's where you're going with it? Really? If it was more straightforward... a film, I think I could take it better, but whenever he starts to get delirious and
I gotta admit, guys, when I hear the what the story to the film is and it really happened, I have no desire to see that story.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are parts where he's like cutting through like the nerves and sinew in his arm, and it's painful to watch. Because you know that this guy had to do it with a dull knife of a Swiss Army knife.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, ugh.
And the movie shows us, like, look how horrible this is.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we got it. I can imagine.
It's just, it's okay. I'm just going to say that.
Like a midget locksmith.
I'm not going to go into, like, the whole enter the void mode and stuff. Talk about it for half an hour and never really say what it is or isn't.
I'm sure I'll see it eventually.
Next DVD and Blu-ray. I'm excited about the Blu-ray Bambi Diamond Edition, because who doesn't love an early Disney film where you have to deal with the death of your parent early on?
Yeah. I love deer. Don't you guys? What? That's not a...
It's a horse or deer horse.
A deer
Maybe
horse.
It's a mutant.
It's a mutant deer horse.
You know what? I never... I always loved, like, deer meat when I, like, lived in the city. And people would be like, oh, venison on the menu. It's local, stuff like that. And be like, oh, great. Now, living out in the country... I have deer coming through my yard every day, and you just kind of – I almost expect them. Like around 9 o'clock, they go through my backyard, and I watch them, and a huge herd of deer. And then again at like 4 or 5, they work their way back to where they bed down, and I see them again. And I kind of become attached to them.
I like to kill deer.
Son of a bitch.
I hadn't heard that one in a long time.
I would have a problem, actually. I would think I would get buck fever if I had a scope on a deer. I wouldn't be able to pull the trigger.
Yeah, usually,
I'll let somebody else do it.
Usually what you hear, Bill, is like, you know, they're beautiful animals, they're beautiful creatures, but, you know, they really do breed a lot, and they're sure are a traffic hazard.
Yeah.
I am just... Take them down.
No, I totally agree. They make it impossible for me to have a garden. Like I've started to have, like I get those earth boxes, like self-contained gardens now, and have to move them as the sun moves in the summer on my deck. I have to move on the deck. when I tried to have a garden one year, they would come into the yard and just eat everything. So. I wouldn't do that, mainly because then I would have to clean it.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll let somebody else do it. Let the nuts that actually enjoy that shit.
I guess those are the deer dropping dead.
Yeah.
That's a big deer.
Go home! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
But Blu-ray, Bambi, I'm sure it's going to look gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. And I love that Thumper.
Thumper's a pimp.
How about some more beans, Mr. Taggart?
Next, Blu-ray. Are you done? Crazy old coot. Next Blu-ray and DVD is Burlesque.
Yeah,
I'll just leave it at that.
Is that the Cher movie?
Yep, and that's real sound from it. That's Cher having one of her old lady movements.
Oh God,
she needs to eat some Activia.
Jesus, stay off that stuff.
Jamie Lee needs to stop pushing that shit.
Step into my office.
Because it makes it impossible to push shit. Next. Oh, Jesus.
Shit kicker.
That's what Jamie Lee Curtis is. It's a shit kicker of the highest order.
Well, that's what Paula Deen is.
Laugh.
And whip your cute little ass.
Wow. Next Blu-ray is the Cable Guy 15th Anniversary Edition.
All right, Cable Guy. I have a fondness for that movie. I know it's not the greatest movie, but I love it. I really do love it.
It's one of my favorite Jim Carrey movies because it's just so creepy.
Yeah, Heather and I quote it all the time. Like, I made you scrambly eggs, Steven. It's like one of our favorite lines we always say.
This is an awesome Blu-ray because it's got a brand new commentary with Ben Stiller, Judd Apatow, and Jim Carrey.
Awesome.
Deleted and extended scenes, gag reel, rehearsal footage, and a bunch of other stuff.
What kind of sounds does it have?
And THX quality sound that would make George Lucas cream in his pants.
Yeah, it does. It's got 5.1 DTS HD master audio.
Ah, nice.
I think it was an Asian gang or something.
Oh, I love that.
That's one of the best parts, too. Ben Stiller does a cameo as twins that are on trial. Or yes. One of the twins killed his twin brother. And he blamed it on an Asian gang.
And we never get to find out what happens.
Yeah, as soon as you're going to find out the verdict, everything goes to hell. I love it.
He falls on the satellite dish and knocks it out.
Hey, buddy!
I love that, you know, it played on that entire hysteria from the OJ trial, and yeah. Then there was the Kyle and Lyle Menendez. And
yeah.
It's a really dark but hilarious film.
Awesome.
All right, next
That's
Blu-ray.
A
next Blu-ray and DVD is Dwayne The Rock. Can you smell what he's cooking? Johnson. In Faster.
Oh, yeah, I remember this trailer.
No, it's Faster.
Someone has killed his brother.
Faster.
He's going to, I guess, kill them or something.
He's going to kill them all.
Hell, yeah, he might as well, huh?
Yeah, I really could. I don't care, but I'll rent it. I'll
his
check it out.
His brother was fast.
You know
fast.
What? I'll watch any movie that's about vengeance, you know, like killing the assholes who tried to kill his brother, you know,
yeah.
And all that kind of stuff.
Because they're never serious. Especially with anything with The Rock in it.
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking? I think so.
It's disgusting. He's a horrible cook. He burns eggs.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, he was one of those guys. He was, you know, he's a wrestler, right?
Yes.
And then he started acting, and then he was like, I'm not a wrestler anymore. But he was still Dwayne The Rock Johnson because that's how people knew his name, right?
Well, and also Vince McMahon, who was the head of that WWE, owns that name.
Right. So
and
now
he basically owns this guy's image.
So now is he just Dwayne Johnson?
Yes.
And he dropped it off?
No. No.
Oh.
He's going back to wrestling again.
What?
Really?
Yeah. He just showed up on some, like one of those Sunday Night Raw or whatever the hell it is.
Haku Masende!
He's going to be in the next big WrestleMania or whatever.
I think once he was getting some credibility.
Once that guy, Vince McMahon, gets his claws in you, you never kind of get out.
Do the math.
It's like the mafia.
Yeah, you're in.
Next.
I'm done.
You're insane. next Blu-ray and DVD is Love and Other Drugs with a mostly always naked Jake Gyllenhaal and Anne Hathaway.
Drugs.
Hey, sign me up. Naked Gyllenhaal?
An incredibly uncomfortable film for me because I took my mom to see it one day when she was still going to rehab with her after her accident. And I was like, so what do you want to go see? Oh, that movie's got Jake Gyllenhaal. Let's go see that. Okay.
Boobs, butt, boobs. And I'm just like, oh my God. It was almost worse than me being 7 years old and seeing Indecent Proposal with my grandma.
Oh, man.
What is going on at your house?
Was it like, even like, come on, how can there possibly be this much nudity in this movie kind of thing?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. But I know, have I ever told that story about going to see Indecent Proposal with my grandma?
I don't think so.
I was a young kid. I had to be 7 or 8. And my grandma wanted to go see a movie. So she takes me to see, what was it, Cop and a Half. with Burt Reynolds and some little black kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Of course, it's awful. You know, and we see that, and then she goes, okay, well, what else do you want to see? Apparently, she thought if you bought a ticket for one movie at a multiplex, that means you can see any movie there.
Hello.
For the entire day. And I'm not – she probably still thinks that. But so she was like, well, let's go see this Demi Moore film. And I was like, no, Grandma, it's Demi Moore. No, but we go and she, I was like, okay, because I knew it was an adult film, rated R, sex was involved. I'm like 8 or 9 years old, like, yeah, I'll go see this. And then it starts to happen, and the Indecent Proposal happens, and they have the money, and they're having sex in the bed with the money. And my grandma leans over to me in this scene, he goes, this is a bad movie. And I had to get up and go to the bathroom for the rest of the entire movie because I was so incredibly uncomfortable. I ended up playing the X-Men arcade cabinet for the remainder of the movie.
Thank you. No, I'm straight.
Nice. Yeah, so, that's a good game, though, Bill.
It was a good game, but this love and other drugs is pretty much similar situation, but with my mom instead.
I'm sold.
Yeah. I mean, Anne Hathaway is absolutely gorgeous in it, and she's always naked. Always.
Is Paula Dean in it?
She's always naked.
No.
Your cute little ass.
My eyes would probably explode. I couldn't handle so much Paula Dean.
I'm sorry.
If you want to, and it's not that good a film, it really isn't. It's Jake Gyllenhaal's a Viagra salesman.
I already know what it's about because The world is engulfed in winter or something.
What? So they just stay in a room and have sex all winter.
Well, what else is there to do? It's freezing. Am I right?
It was actually shot in
with zombies.
Yeah, there's really not much else to do in Pittsburgh in the winter. So if you're lucky enough to have somebody, that's pretty much all you do.
Do the math.
That and watch Steeler football. Go Steelers! You scumbags.
Smoking hotties.
Yeah. And not quite lastly, I have to bring this up just because I'm dumbfounded by it. Why not pick up the direct-to-video sequel to SWAT called SWAT Firefight?
It's just the work of sissies.
Oh, yeah, because SWAT was so good, right?
And get this, with Robert Patrick and Christiana Loken.
He's a righteous dude.
I love Robert Patrick. All right, why not, I'll check it out.
Why not cast two Terminator film villains in your direct-to-DVD SWAT film?
It's true.
That's hilarious. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So it exists. I don't get it, but it exists.
Why is what I want to know.
Yeah. And lastly, something I've been seeing advertised like crazy on Boomerang and Cartoon Network, Scooby-Doo, Curse of the Lake Monster.
This is not an animated Scooby-Doo film. Further than I can throw it.
This is a Scooby-Doo film with live action and a CGI dog again.
Oh no.
But without the original cast. And it's not a guy playing Shaggy that kind of looks like Jason Ritter, but it's not.
I think we did watch some of this on Cartoon Network one night or something.
Yeah, they're advertising the crap out of it. I know that cuz I was watching what was I watching today? Oh, I was watching on Nickelodeon SpongeBob SquarePants, and they were advertising.
Nice.
Hey, it was a funny SpongeBob. It was the one where his teacher gives him the hall monitor outfit, and he goes through Bikini Bottom creating havoc, and they start looking for him as the maniac.
Oh, I love that. That is a good one.
He goes, oh my God, somebody has their window open. He goes and then crashes their dinner. He goes, I'm the window bandit.
I've seen them all. That's a good one.
It's just really goofy. The show cracks me up. All right. And that is, sadly, DVDs for this week. It really isn't anything out.
Well, I'm going to pick up the Cable Guy Blu-ray.
Yes.
Hot dog. Right, Steven?
Yes, hot dog.
Do or do not. There is no trust.
Not the shit all.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week.
You're welcome.
That is the most disgusting thing I've heard since I've been here.
Thank you. Good night.
You caught me mid nose blow.
And.
Was going on.
It was a cat fight.
All right, guys. That was episode 229 of Nowhere Mulberry. Thank you for listening. Go to nowheremulberry.com. Click on our forum and join it and talk with us, and it'll be funny and stuff. Also, send us an email at dimpodcast@gmail.com. Call 1-206-202-3491. You can send us a voicemail. That would be awesome. Also, follow us on the Twitter. Be awesome. So, guys, thank you for listening this evening, and, we won't be doing a show next week. It's my daughter's birthday. I'm taking that week off. And
my birthday, too.
Really? I thought your birthday was...
No.
Oh, okay.
My birthday is in September. Oh. But I'm allowed... It's the second birthday.
It's your unbirthday.
Confusing me.
It's like, it's like second breakfast.
Yeah.
I want one of those.
It's actually 11-sies. It's my second birthday. Is in June.
So it's also one of our listener, Da Flying Squirrel, Rodney. It's his birthday next week. So happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to my daughter. You know, it's a little early now. Her birthday is actually this Wednesday. So happy birthday to Emma. And it's what?
Thursday.
It's actually Thursday. Close enough. But happy birthday to all that are having a birthday coming up soon.
Oh, my son's birthday is on Tuesday.
What the hell? Wow.
You're a liar.
Happy birthday. No, that was actually true, Bill.
You're lying.
So happy birthday to Gage.
No, it's Severin.
Oh, Severin. Damn it. God, can we just start over and I'll pretend like I knew all this?
We'll fix it in post.
Yeah, happy birthday to Severin. Love Severin. He's a good kid. So, also, what else? You know, when we come back, we'll talk about the end of Spartacus, Gods of the Arena. But let's go ahead and play this now since we won't be here. Happy birthday to everybody. Severin, Emma.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
Ah, yes.
Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday.
You know when you get the combo together.
Happy birthday.
It's extra special.
You should send that clip to Whoopi Goldberg and Simon Pegg.
Hell yeah.
Where's your friend?
Which one?
Oh my god. What the hell?
Killed my friend.
All right, anything else? All right.
Not that I can think of.
All right, everybody. See you next time. Later.
Drive safe.
Woo!
I'm done. I'm done. It's on. Bring it, as I say. I ain't hiding.
As he says.
Testicle.
Now this is podcasting.
You must make great a show.
We're still pretty old school.
Eating his shit.
I don't even know what to say to that.
How dare you break wind before me?
You're embarrassing me.
That is the most disgusting thing I've heard since I've been here.
Word up. Word up.
What? Am I the only one who's confused here?
People think she's a whore.
I think you're wrong.
I speak without thinking.
Are you kidding?
A little bit disgusted.
I will love you violently.